your season ticket. WESB Sports. This is Bradford Owls High School Football on WESB Sports, B107.5 FM, 1490 AM, WBRR,
FM.com.
Broadcasting live, the voice of the Owls, Jimmy Kelts.
Good evening and welcome into Bradford Owls Football on WESB Sports. We are live from Parkway Field, back at home finally after a couple weeks on the road. I'm Jimmy Kelts, your voice of the Owls. Alongside me is my color commentator, Mark Urban, and our sound engineer and producer, Quincy Scott, is back at the station. And it's the Owls' homecoming night tonight, week six of the season. So a couple big markers. The Owls get to 2-3 after the first 5 weeks. They had a lost the season opener. Won two in a row and lost two in a row, those two previous being on the road to DuBois and Clarion. And tonight starts the second half of the season with the two wins already on the schedule. And looking at some of the teams we got coming up, very possible to get a couple more wins. And that starts tonight here against Manitowoc, Mark. Now, a team that, you know, you look at on paper and you see the box scores and you say, okay, a team that we should match up pretty well with. That being said, it's a team that we should match up pretty well with every year.
Yeah, absolutely. Another small school area. They don't have a whole lot of guys on their team, but they definitely do find success. Manitowoc seems to be one of those teams that will have three or four good years and then one down year and then right back to it. And this seems to be a little bit of their down year, but they're still a good team. They're very athletic. They have a very good quarterback that knows what he's doing, has some experience out there. So I look for a good matchup out here tonight for us.
Yeah, I believe Manitowoc comes in with a 1-4 record. We haven't shared any of the same opponents yet through the first half of the season. Their one win did come against ECC, so another kind of a smaller numbers school as well. But yeah, looking at their roster, just like you said, I think I counted 30-some kids. A really small team, but they've got some guys. We'll talk about that during the pregame show. You might be able to hear some of the festivities in the background here for homecoming night. We're also, with the band playing now, we're also going to get a little extended halftime, rather, the homecoming festivities. And last week, coming off a loss in Clarion, we were in Clarion Limestone, but that Central Clarion team is a three-team co-op. Big team, deep team, a lot of guys, and it showed in that final score. Not exactly what the Owls were looking for, but I also think maybe in the week since, that loss might have been blown out of proportion a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the guys on the team, they were all pretty upset about the final outcome of that. Could have taken that game a couple of different ways. And by talking to these guys, they're real positive about this. This gave them a little fire under their butts and to get moving and get aggressive. And from what I understand, this week's practices have been high energy and very focused. So hopefully we put that one behind us.
Yeah, some good practices, what I've been hearing, and without all of the usual distraction that may or may not come with a homecoming week. We'll get into all of that with the coaches show. I want to talk a little bit more about that Clarion game, that final number on the scoreboard, and about what we're going to see tonight and the rest of the week, including some things, a couple of buzzwords that we haven't heard with associated with Bradford Owls football here in the past couple seasons. It all going to come up during the coaches show, which we sat down and talked with Coach Jeff Puglio earlier today. Here's the coaches show with Coach Jeff Puglio.
Welcome back to the coaches show with Coach Jeff Puglio. It is week six for the Owls, 2-3 on the season. It's homecoming week with the Owls back at home hosting Manitowoc. Thanks for joining me again, Coach.
Happy to be here.
Nice to be back at home, have homecoming week for the kids. It is coming off a bad loss at Clarion. There's obviously no surprise that Clarion is a really good team. We knew that coming in. It's a three-team co-op. They are big numbers-wise. They are big size-wise. They're deep. Which way do you like to come from a coaching standpoint? Is it easier to try to brush that off completely as it is what it is, it's Clarion, it's all that stuff, or is it easier to treat it just like any other loss and try to take what you can from it and build on the rest?
I think you move forward. I take full responsibility for the score. We talked to the kids about it. It got out of hand because we were going to be aggressive. We weren't going to punt. We were going to try to really extend drives going for it. We knew early on in the game that we weren't going to be able to stop them. So, you know, would you rather give them a 50-yard drive or an 80-yard drive? So what's the difference in punting? So we were aggressive. We subbed down early. They didn't. You know, it is what it is. So we move forward.
Mm. Now they get to come back home to Parkway Field against Manitow. I assume you know, homecoming week, you want to try to lift the spirits. Kids are having fun. It's a good week. But is it tough coming off that, you know, two-hour drive from Clarion after a loss like that?
No, I don't think so. We met Monday, and we kind of showed them, you know, despite what happened last Friday, you know, what's still in front of us. We're still very much alive in the District 9 championship chase. We're still very much alive and hosting a regional playoff game here this year with the District 6 champion. And we're still very much alive if we can win those two games, you know, if we can get there and win those two, to be in the state playoffs. So all our goals are in front of us. So we're not looking back. We're looking forward. It's been a really good week of practice. We haven't had the homecoming distractions that you normally go through. I think they're razor focused, really good week, and we're really excited to kick the ball off tonight.
And when we do that, we'll be facing Manitow tonight, obviously a team that we match up a little better with. I think is another one that you look at, you get excited for on homecoming night. Am I correct in saying that, or has Manitow got some surprises in store or anything?
I think you're correct, and that's one of the things we talked to them about. You know, they don't ever look great on film, but the reality is we've never beat Manitow. So they always give us their best shot. I think they look forward to the Bradford game, as everybody has in the past, and it's up to us to change that narrative. So I think tonight's just another opportunity and our growth. You know, can we become the team we want to be? Well, games like this where you probably should win, you have to do the little things to do that. We saw earlier in the season when we got up against Cowdy and Otto, we kind of laid off a little bit, kind of coasted the scoreboard watching. So the goal tonight is to come out strong, come out fast, really take it to them and set the tone and start to mature into that team I know we can.
And in those wins that you mentioned, what we started to see that really maybe it opened things up was when the running game worked out, when Jordy Thompson was really pushing forward, the offensive line was opening up. But he, I mean, yards after first contact is incredible with Jordy. He's a great wrestler, obviously, knows how to use his weight. And A.J. Gleason as well. Are you going to go back to trying to get those two guys the ball against, you know, a team not quite as big and strong as Clarion?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we try to distribute the ball, you know, to everybody equally. Balance doesn't necessarily mean it has to be 50% run, 50% pass. It's just, are we balancing the ball around? Are we trying to get everybody touches? So they can't take one person away because, you know, we got five or six others that can hurt you. So I think that's the goal in all of our games, to come out and just establish what we do, stay on track, avoid the penalties, and just move the ball forward. I think that's always our goal, and that's what we're looking to see tonight.
Defense, is the defense still looking and reading those keys and all the things that you saw as the defensive coordinator, all the things that you saw through the first 3 weeks of the season that you were very excited about? That's still the case? Again, just coming off a tough game, but still very much where you want the boys to be?
Yeah, I mean, we do what we do. You know, we're pretty standard in our defense, and keys don't change week to week, and that's something we've changed from years past, where our, you know, we've had multiple looks, multiple key changes, you know, depending on the opponent, where we kind of made a decision to, all right, we're going to make it a standard thing. There's rules in place, and we're going to get really good at our rules. And I think that's what you're seeing with the defense is, you know, we know our rules, we play to our rules, and it's helped us really get more aggressive in the defense and not really have to do too much exotic stuff. Tonight, we would like to be able to send some pressure at times, which is something we haven't done a ton of. We haven't really needed to, but just to be able to show different looks, especially for the teams coming up on our schedule.
Absolutely. Second half of the season, excited to kick it off with homecoming night tonight. We'll go out there and look to get back to 500, 3-3 as we move forward. Thanks again for joining me, Coach.
Thanks for having me. Let's go Owls.
Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports is brought to you by these local sponsors: the Model T Inn, Allegheny Bradford Corporation, Allegheny Vein and Vascular, W.R. Case & Sons, Toji's Family Restaurant, Toji's Substation, Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate, Burns & Burns Insurance, Team Minor, In Tandem, Thacker Development, Dexter's Service and Collision,
Zimmerman Real Estate, Lease and Construction, and Ameriprise Financial. This is Bradford Owls Football on WESB Sports, 1490 AM, B107.5 FM, and streaming at WESB.com and 100.1 The Heroes mobile apps.
CM Bradford, WESB Bradford, B107.5 FM. This is Bradford Owls High School Football.
Welcome back to Parkway Field. That was the coach's show with Coach Jeff Puglio. And right away, what I said there, we're probably about to break for a national anthem here very shortly, but a couple of buzzwords we hadn't heard in a while. Associated Bradford football.
Playoffs was a
regional or a district championship game, stuff like that. So it should be interesting here. The Owls, homecoming night, hosting Montauk to kick off the second half of the season. We're going to pause for just one more minute to get into the national anthem, and we'll be back. Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Toji's Substation is the friendly, fun place to enjoy made-to-order fresh homemade food. Tender Italian bread-made subs, plus specialty pizzas, wings, burgers, and lots of games for everyone to enjoy. It's also your one-stop fast beer shop, featuring a big variety of domestic, imported, and craft beers, including Toji's daily buck of beer specials. Toji's Substation, for over 50 years, the friendly, fun place for the whole family. Open every day at 402 East Main Street in Bradford.
Damage from wildfires is devastating and traumatic. After wildfires, dishonest contractors show up hoping to make a quick buck from your insurance claim. They'll promise anything if they can get you to sign a contract, collect your payment in advance, and ultimately do no work at all. Avoid being the victim of contractor fraud. Get estimates from at least 3 contractors. Check references, and remember, if you didn't request it, reject it.
To report fraud, call us at 1-800-TELL-NICB. This is a public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
WESB Sports.
Back to action here at Parkway Field. And just before the break there, we just wrapped up the national anthem. So get ready for the coin toss here. We'll get a kickoff. We'll get the game underway. And, of course, we'll bring you your starting offense for the Owls, brought to you by Kathy Obermeyer at ERA Team VP Real Estate. But going back to the coaches show and a couple things that we covered there, open it up with that loss at Clarion. And, earlier in pregame mentioned that, you know, things obviously look real bad. 86-0 loss. A couple things to keep in mind. 3-team co-op. That's wild. That's a big team with a lot of kids on it. Very deep team. It seemed like they had 4 or 5 running backs that were almost interchangeable. Mm-hmm. You could plug each one in, and they're effectively running. Not to mention the strength of the offensive line, no matter who's back there in the backfield. Jace Ferguson, one of the better. I mean, you can make an argument for one of the top players all around on both sides of the ball in District 9. He's got a ton of tackles, interceptions on the season, and he's a pretty great starting quarterback in his own right, throwing and running. And just the way the game was played, a couple things that Coach brought up. He brought in the young guys a little earlier. Clarion chose to keep their guys out there for a little bit longer. They're averaging 60 points on the season. It's something that they've done. They like to put some numbers on the board. And they made a decision early on when they saw that this offense is going to be a real issue to go for it, to be aggressive, to not punt the ball away, to not worry about time of possession and any of that. Let's see if we can strike with them. It didn't work out that way, but that's how we got to that 80 points. I don't know if, you know, there'd be less of a backlash if it was a 50-point loss, but that's how we got to 80.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely fine. I like the decision that they made to do that. Why not? Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, a couple of the kids earlier in the week going into Clarion, their motto all week was, why not us? You know, why not us beat the David versus Goliath matchup here? And so the coaches followed suit, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And it gives you a chance there at the end of the game to let some young guys onto the field. They get a lot of reps and a lot of good quality game time, and some of it against some starters, so they see the competition and what it's like at that higher level. And you get to run some plays and some looks, some stuff that, you know, maybe does come into play later on in the season, stuff that maybe, if you see a team later on with – some postseason stuff on the line, some playoff stuff on the line, or even if you do see a District 6 championship team or something like that, some stuff that maybe they don't have on tape. They haven't seen yet from you this season. So, you know, it's a chance to do different things. The Owls just took to the field here homecoming night. Everybody's jazzed up, bands on the field. They're in their all-black homes. Interesting note from you, they got some new decals on the helmet there.
Yeah, it looks like they have like basically little reward stickers. So like you see a lot of college football teams doing it. Mm-hmm. And I actually used to do this with a travel baseball team that I had, and it seemed to make the kids play that much harder. They wanted what may be simple to us. A little sticker on the helmet's a big deal to them. So that's a welcome sight. I haven't seen Bradford do that before. I think it's really cool, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it's a little badge of honor. You can, you know, in your mind picture some of the college ball players, some of those Ohio State helmets or whatever with, you know, just half a helmet covered in stickers. That's what the Owls are trying to build up for right now. The Owls, after the coin toss, will kick it away, and Montauk will start the first half with possession. We're going to stick with you right up through the start of the game here as we got our last break out of the way for the national anthem. Montauk is going to take to the field, and they're all whites, the Warriors. And boy, the numbers on that team, it's almost striking. With their fielding return unit on the field, it's half the team.
Yeah, they don't have many. They only got another 10 guys on the sideline over there, so a very small in numbers team. But like we talked about earlier, there's some explosive players on here that we got to be able to contain.
Absolutely, and they always play very, very well against Bradford, try to play up. You know, even in their down years, play up to the level that Bradford is showing. Here's Jake Franz with the opening kickoff. Going to get fielded at about the 4-yard line. Across the 15 is the return man. Across the 25 and got up through the 30, approaching the 34-yard line.
Boy, good thing for A.J. Lama there. He nearly broke that one for the distance there. A nice seam opened up for him, and he took it. But A.J. was able to split free from his blocker and bring him down at looks like about the 35-yard line. So Montauk taking the opening kickoff to the 35. They're going to be working from right to left on your station here. So let's see what they got.
Montauk, a couple of key players. They've got a junior quarterback, Trent Beecham. Starting QB, he's got 539 yards passing with 10 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's also got one rushing touchdown, rather. First down goes for a couple of yards.
Yeah, Evan Whitmore in there already with one tackle, so moving up from his linebacker spot in there to bring him up for just maybe a 2-yard gain, so that's going to bring up a second and 8 for Montauk.
Their main running back is a senior, Logan Campbell. He's got 200 rushing yards with 2 TDs and another 165 yards receiving with 2 TDs. And their main wide receiver is Brandon Sankey, with a buck 27 yards and a TD as well. Here's Beecham rolling out to his right in a little bit of trouble. So far escaped it, and then about 5 Owls clobber him all at the same time.
Yeah, look like, oh, wow, Matt Perry, Evan Whitmore. Man, they're just a pile. The entire defensive line was just in on that tackle, so great job by the Owls.
Yeah, literally. I mean, that pocket collapsed, and Beecham did a good job of evading for a little bit and then just nowhere else to go. And all 4 of the linemen end up meeting him at the same time. So that brings up a 3rd and 10.
Yeah, he almost lost 5 or 6 there. So how he squirmed out of that was actually pretty impressive.
But yeah,
like you said, just couldn't get away. It's like Bradford's bringing in a little bit of a dime package here. Got a lot of DBs out of it.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in the middle of the field. Here's a rollout to the left for Beecham. He's going to air it out. Nobody
Picked
there.
Off.
Intercepted by A.J. Gleason at midfield, and he's still going. Across to the 45 in Montauk territory, A.J. Gleason gets us started with an interception.
Yeah, it looked like they rolled out, quarterback rolled out for towards the home sideline here, and he looked like he was maybe just trying to throw that ball away, but A.J. was 2 feet inside the line there when he was able to bring that one down and return it a few yards. So that's going to put the Owls at a 1st and 10 on the Montauk 45.
So here's your Owls starting offense, brought to you by Kathy Obermeyer at ERA Team VP Real Estate. Obviously, we know our starting quarterback, Talon Reese. He's a junior. Quick check-in with some of these guys as we go through this first offensive possession. There's a flag on first down.
Yeah, that's going to be a foul start against the Owls.
A couple of notes through the first half of the season, now that we're in week 6. Talon Reese, starting quarterback, 76 for 114. Throwing at an impressive clip for as far as completion rate. He's got 846 yards and 6 touchdowns on the season, plus a rushing TD, about 60 yards rushing or so. At wide receiver, here's 1st and 15. Franz hands it off to Thompson. Jordy gets wrapped up, maybe a 2-yard gain on the play.
Yeah, he wasn't able to get much there, although he didn't get hit in the backfield this time. Just one of the offensive linemen was able to shed their block and bring him down. So just a very short gain there for Jordan.
Jordy Thompson, your starting running back, and occasionally we'll see A.J. Gleason lined up back there as well. At wide receiver, Jake Franz, so far with 18 catches for 317 yards and 4 TDs. He leads the team in receiving. He's at wide receiver, 2nd and 13 now, alongside Adam Ward. He's got 14 catches for 210 yards and a TD. Here's Jordy again. This time a little bit more space. Breaks a tackle. Breaks another and puts up for a first down at the 35-yard line.
Not only did Jordan just run over 4 Manitow players, he also got the referee in there on that. But that's going to bring up a first down for the Owls. So one heck of a run by Jordan there.
Yeah, he broke a tackle at about a 7-yard gain. And then he got wrapped up from behind and around the back and somehow just ripped that arm right off of him, kept plowing forward. Ends up with a 1st and 10 at the 35.
Yeah, 13-yard run by Jordan as the Owls line up dead center middle of the field here on the 35-yard line.
Back to our starters. Matthew Perry, we mentioned. Matthew Perry we haven't. 11 catches so far. Here's another run for Jordy. He's got room. He's at the 20. Trying to get to the sideline. 10, 5, touchdown, Jordy Thompson, 35-yard run.
Big run by Jordan there. He started with the ball just off tackle on the right-hand side and was able to make one quick move, bust it out to the sideline and to the house. He took it. Brings your Owls up 6-0 early.
And that was the Jordy that we had seen through the first few weeks of the season, just able to somehow get through that offensive line. And then when you get into space, look out, because while he may not be known for his explosive speed or his evasiveness, he can break tackles with the best of them.
He just showed off his speed pretty good.
A little bit,
there.
Yeah, he did. And once he got to the sideline, he was wide open. There's the extra point by Jake Franz, and that's good for a 7-0 Owls lead here early in the first quarter of homecoming night. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
In Tandem is a leading provider of services to people with developmental disabilities and mental health concerns in Western New York. With all that's changed over the years, In Tandem's mission has remained constant: quality care, support, and togetherness. We are better together, and you may just be better with them. In Tandem is a major employer of direct care workers, nurses, and other human services professionals with new pay rates and a strong benefit package. In Tandem is a great place to build a career. Visit intandem.org to find out how you can make a difference today.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Parkway Field. We've got an early touchdown here from Bradford. Jordy Thompson, a 35-yard throw. If you count that penalty on that first, you know, didn't even get the snap off, really.
Right.
That's the 4th play offensively for the Owls. We didn't even have enough time to get through the entire starting line. We've got an interception so far from Gleason, a rushing touchdown. Here's the ensuing kickoff. Little bobble at the 13-yard line and across the 20. Trying to get to the 25.
Nice.
Dragged down from behind.
Yes.
By Perry.
Nope, that's sophomore Logan Kohler out there.
Oh, nice, Logan Kohler.
Able to shed a block, grab him by the jersey, and had enough strength to pull him straight backwards. So a heck of a play by Logan Kohler to bring him down before he could get any momentum going there.
Was getting through Perry's numbers here through the first 5 games. 11 catches, 141 yards. And then, of course, our offensive line, which has changed up a little bit. Usually centered by Jacob Abers, including Owen DeGoyler, Evan Whitmore, John Jasper, Blake Callahan as well. Here's 1st and 10, and a little run play. Not going anywhere.
No.
Nothing doing. I'm not sure if that was any gain at all.
No, I don't believe so. He was initially hit by, looked like Eric Himes and Liam Haven wrapping him up, and then a couple more hours came in and finished off the job for him, so. Yeah, they might have given him like half a football like that there. So it's going to bring up a 2nd and 10 for Manitow.
There's your broken up starting line, starting offense presented to you by Kathy Obermeyer at ERA Team VP Real Estate. And our first quarter contestant for Toji's Touchdown Sweepstakes, Kim Bidwell, wins the free lunch special from Toji's Substation. Here's second and 10. Another run crunched right up front, able to fall forward for a short gain.
Yeah, it looked like their offensive line opened a hole. However, Evan Whitmore was right there to stuff that hole and bring the runner down for a very short gain. So that's going to bring up about 3rd and 8 for Manitow. 3rd and 7 for Manitow from their own 26.
I'll say that one more time. I went through it pretty quickly. Kim Bidwell is the first quarter contestant. You've already won, as the Owls have already scored a free lunch special from Toji's Substation. Split backs for Beecham, and he's going to be a play action, but that play is whistled dead as there is a flag on the play.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a false start against the Warriors.
Yeah, that does seem to be the call. That's going to bring it back to a 3rd and 12.
Yeah, it's going to be 3rd and 12 from their 21-yard line. So not only was the offense explosive, but the defense is doing, I mean, so far an interception, and then they just keep pushing them back here on defense. So
yeah,
an excellent start on both sides of the ball for the Owls.
An interception on their third play.
Yep, third play.
Now Manitow staring down a 3rd and out. Beecham has to step up. He's got a little bit of room. Whitmore's going to try to chase him down. And
he
gets
does.
To him.
Yep, Whitmore should have had him a little bit earlier, but the ref threw a good block in there on him. But Evan was able to get around him and bring him down to bring up a big fourth down for the Warriors.
A good awareness there for Beecham to use that block because he
absolutely
did a nice little move out to the right hash mark. It brings up a 4th and 6.
Yeah, it looks like Manitow is going to go for it here.
Yeah, risky at their own 28-yard line.
Yeah, they're on the far side hash mark there.
Oh, they might
have a punt
lined up. Yep.
Yep. Looks like A.J. Gleason back deep for the Owls for the punt. Oh, over his head.
Oh, sailed over and almost into the end zone. He does get a punt away, and a pretty nice one. It's going to be fielded at the 45-yard line in Manitow territory, but, boy, that could have been
dangerous. I'm not sure how he even got that off, but Logan Kohler was able to call for a fair catch as he was surrounded by Warrior players, and so it's going to be 1st and 10 from about the 45. So, again, the Owls are going to be starting in Manitow territory.
Yeah, I mean, not only is it crazy that he got that punt off, but to get as much behind it as he did, he let that go from his own end zone. Got it to the 45-yard line. Quite a punt, especially in that situation. Here's 1st and 10 for Reese and the Owls. Reese with Thompson in the backfield.
Manitow showing blitz.
And it's going to be a double handoff. Fumbled. Did Gleason jump back on top of it?
He did. Yeah, that play kind of blew up before it started there. As I said, Manitow was showing blitz. They brought both their linebackers right up in the gaps, and they were able to push our linebacker just enough that it disrupted the play. But a pretty good-sized loss there, a loss of about 6. So that's going to bring up a 2nd and 16 for the Owls.
Yeah, they showed blitz. They didn't lie. They brought everybody in. Reese handed it to Jordy. Jordy handed it to Gleason. Gleason got popped before he was able to secure the ball. Double twins here for Reese with Thompson in the backfield. Going to drop back and throws one out to Jake Franz. It's caught and down at about the 38-yard line. It's going to bring up a 3rd and short.
Yeah, so just a quick out to Jake Franz, who had a pretty slow week last week, so it's good to see him getting back in the game. But this makes it a very manageable 3rd and 3 for the Owls.
Yeah, so far good to see some of the guys we haven't seen. Jordy Thompson breaking off a couple runs. Jake Franz getting involved. You know, the more times you get the ball to your playmakers, the more chances you're going to get.
Yeah, good things will happen.
3rd and 3. Reese. And he's going to be a play action over the top to Gleason. Gleason's going to have to fight for the yardage.
Ooh, he's going to be close.
I think he's going to be just shy of the first, and it's going to bring up about a 4th and 1.
Jordan Thompson actually had a really great chip block to save the play there because there was a guy diving at Talon, but Jordan was able to get in front of him and knock him out of the way, give Talon just enough time to kind of do a little bit of a jump pass there, kind of Tebow-esque back in the old Florida days.
Yeah.
And it's going to bring up, they're going to mark him just short, so it's going to be 4th and 1 for the Owls.
4th and 1 from the 36. The Owls going to go for it here. And it'll be handed off to Jordy. Jordy's got it and more inside the 30. And a run with no doubt. He got about 10 yards past the first down marker.
And again, it takes three Warrior defensemen to bring down Jordan Thompson. That kid, I say it every week, but he impresses me a little bit more every single week. So big first down for the Owls there on their own 24-yard line.
Yeah, his yards after contact, I would love to see. It feels like that's got to be a ridiculous stat. Now, we know Jordy as a wrestler and someone who knows center of gravity and how to manipulate weight very well, and it has played to his advantage here in the run game. First and 10 from the 24 in Montauk territory. Bradford again knocking at the door here in the first quarter. Yeah, splitbacks for Reese.
Jordan's over 60 yards rushing the ball already.
Reese is back in coverage. He's got a man, but it's going to go just through the hands of Adam Ward.
Yeah, Adam a little slow to get up there, but brought it up. Looks like there is an Owl player down, but that was a bullet thrown by Reese down towards Adam Ward at about the 5-yard line. Adam, just a little high, Adam not able to come up with the catch.
Yeah, a little high, went up to, and it slipped right through his hands, trying to see who's down on the field. Process of elimination, maybe. I see Franz, I see Ward, I see Reese, I see Gleason, I see Jordy. So we got to be somebody on the line, or Perry, I think, is the only wide receiver I haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, I think I see Perry down here, kneeled down beside the coach. So looks like they're looking at his ankle there. I'm not sure who it is.
Yeah, we'll take another moment here as both teams take a knee before we decide whether we need to go to a injury timeout.
Yeah, our trainer extraordinaire, Mona, out there assessing the situation. She's one of the best in the business.
If anybody can get him right, it'll be Mona.
Absolutely.
Down right at the 30-yard line. With 4:06 left to go in the first quarter, it's still 7-0 Owls lead, and I think we will take
it. It looks like it might be Evan Whitmore. That would be a big loss for the Owls. It is Evan.
Indeed, yeah, at 54. He's up and walking off
under his own power.
Basically unassisted. Yeah, a little bit gingerly, but unassisted. So, again, I mean, at this point, I think you can hope for a cramp.
Yeah, something. Evan's a tough kid. I'm no doubt he'll do everything he can to get back in there.
Yeah, that's going to bring in James Norcross.
It is, yes. James has been playing well. I've got to see him a couple times down at the JV level, and he's a force to be reckoned with down there. So he knows the plays. He knows what he's doing. He's good at what he does. So I'd like to see him show off a little bit here under the lights on a Friday night.
Homecoming game for the Owls, and it's going to be a nice chance for him to step up. Next man up here, 2nd and 10 from the 24. Reese with splitbacks again. Montauk showing blitz again. And they will blitz. Reese is going to let one go towards the end zone. Caught, but out of bounds.
I'm not real sure how a flag wasn't just thrown on that play, as a defender knocked Reese down well after he threw the ball. But, again, we're up here. They're down there for a reason. So, incomplete pass. He was shooting for the end zone, but just couldn't come up with it. So
yeah, trying to find Franz in the front corner of the end zone, as he had before.
Yeah, so that's going to bring up a, was it 3rd and 10 for the Owls from the 24. Look like Whitmore's down here getting taped up by Mona and going to be doing what he can to get back into this game.
3rd and 10, back to splitbacks for Reese, as that extra coverage served him well, fending off that last blitz. Going to send Gleason out in motion, and now we've got the play whistle dead. It's going to be a timeout for Bradford, I believe.
Yep.
So we'll take a tax-in timeout in the meantime. Brought to you by Tax-In Restaurant at the intersection of Routes 219 and 59 in Lewis Run, with the best handmade pierogies around. A Tax-In timeout, 7-0 Owls up with 4 minutes to go in the first. Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Just like your Bradford Owls, Thacker Development has been your residential construction home team for over 20 years. Scoring touchdowns and winning is easy when you use Thacker Development to tackle all your new construction and home improvement projects. Turn over your wishes to them and let their team's dedication and experience make your dream a reality. Thacker Development's schedule is in the red zone, so call now and score your spot. Kick off your next project by calling Thacker Development now at 814-558-2447. Go Owls!
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Parkway Field, homecoming night. And coming out of a Texan timeout, we're going to have a 3rd and 10 from the 24. And Reese will be out of the shotgun with Jordy Thompson to his right side, Trips to his right, and Jake Franz the only man to his left.
Full house blitz. He's able to get it off to Kohler.
Yeah, Kohler's got some speed, and it looks like
he's going to be got first down there, Jimmy.
Yeah, he's got the first plus in about a yard or so. So he was able to get into the near the 13-yard line, it looks like.
Yeah, for sure. They just set up the trips. They sent two guys, looked like they were going deep, and Kohler stopped early, cut in towards the center of the field, and a perfect strike by Talon in there for the first down for the Owls.
Yeah, almost like a delayed screen pass to Kohler, and a good call there to catch the defense out of position. Kohler's able to turn on the boosters, get the first down yardage, 1st and 10 from the 13. Reese has got to roll out to his right side, and spin move as he is taken down for a loss of 2, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like the coverage just broke down. There was good coverage, and then the blocking just broke down on the far side of the line there. So Reese rolled out to his right and was chopped down before he was able to make a move to get any positive yardage. So lucky he only got a 2-yard loss on that.
Looking to make a pass the whole time. Reese was rolling out to the sideline, seeing if somebody could wiggle their way open. Just at the last second, tried to make the play with his feet. Turns into a 2nd and 12 from the 15. Reese with double twins now. And now we've got a throw to the middle of the field. Sheds a tackle. Does Franz?
Yes.
No, Franz
Jake
or Kohler?
Franz.
Franz goes in for a touchdown after shedding that tackle at the 5-yard line.
Yeah, really showed off his speed and agility. Made a couple quick moves and then darted and dove for the end zone to get one in for the Owls. So currently we're sitting at 13-0 Owls with 2:28 left to go in the first quarter. As it looks like they're going to line up for another PAT.
A very surprising look there from the Owls that we've barely ever seen Franz near the middle of the field. He's usually on the outside of the numbers. Not much less the hash marks. The extra kick is up and good, and that's going to make it 14-0. Bradford leads here on homecoming night with 2.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Helping bring you this football broadcast is a special group of sponsors, the WESB Winner's Circle. Participants include these local area businesses: W.R. Case & Sons, makers of quality American-made knives since 1889, Dexter's Service & Collision on West Washington Street in Bradford, and In Tandem in Olean, enhancing the lives of people with disabilities through supports and services. Winner's Circle sponsors putting you in the game all season long, right here on your season ticket, WESB Sports in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Parkway Field. Following a 15-yard throw from Talon Reese to Jake Franz. Got it right in the middle of the field. Broke a tackle at the 5 and found his way into the end zone to make it 14-0. Bradford leads here on homecoming night. And good news, we do see Evan Whitmore back out on the field here for the ensuing kickoff.
Yeah, for sure. He's a tough kid. It looked like they just wrapped up his ankle, and back out he went.
Franz with the kick is going to get caught at the 10, full head of steam here across the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, and wrapped up and brought out of bounds by Franz.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's actually Jake Franz who kicked it off to bring it down.
He gets the touchdown, kicks the extra point, kicks the kickoff, and then gets the tackle on the kickoff.
Yeah, he might need a quick little break here for a few minutes. So.
Wow.
Jake definitely feeling it tonight. So, and what a welcome addition. I mean, I know we've talked about this before, but he adds so much more diversity to this Owls offense and defense for that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Saw him during the timeout selling peanuts to the crowd, painting lines in the parking lot.
All
right. So it's going to be first and 10 Manitow from their own 41.
Here's a quick pitch to the right side. And across the line of scrimmage, pushing forward, just moving the pile for a pretty nice gain. Looks like 7 or 8 yards there.
Yeah, and Evan Whitmore and Ian DeGoyer are in on the tackle for the Owls. So Whitmore was down, but not out for long there.
So it does turn into second and two. That pitch out worked nicely for Manitow as they were able, you know, they've got a big back there and able to get him a full head of steam before he runs into any contact. Manitow approaching midfield. Here's another pitch, but this time going the other way. Got room again, heading to the sideline and trucked into A.J. Gleason.
He'll think twice about doing that. A.J. just laid the hammer down. That's an early bid for the collision
of the game, yeah, which we will make a decision on later on. Sponsored by the Love Toyota Collision Center at 911 East Main Street. Yeah, Gleason found him, and it looked like they made the decision, all right, let's challenge this guy. And big pop. I mean, collision by every sense of the word.
They were able to come up with a first down, though. So it is first and 10 Manitow from the Bradford 49.
First time in Bradford territory as well. Here's a run right up the gut, and this one's going to go to the 40 as well. So another possible first down here right near the first down marker.
Yeah, he was able to another sweep play, but coming this way towards the home sideline here. He was able to make a couple little sidesteps and then a quick burst of speed before A.J. was able to bring him down.
Warriors might have found something here in the first quarter. I don't know. You know, I haven't seen a whole lot of them this season, but that's sophomore number 28, Kyle Scott, who's gotten the last three run plays. I haven't really seen or read anything about him in preparation to this game.
No, but the last couple plays, he's looked pretty impressive. So.
Absolutely. Here is double twins for Beecham. It's going to be a quick handoff up the middle, and nothing doing there as they go back to Matthew Baptiste.
Yeah, that was they just tried to run the ball right up the middle, and they were unable to come up with anything. And looks like a little extracurricular activity by the Manitow player out there. And the guy he's picking on might not be a wise idea for him later on in this game.
Who's he got sights on?
Oh, it looked like he had his sights on Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
Matthew's not a kid to mess with too much. He's a smart kid, though. He'll hold his composure and...
Second and 8 for Manitow after a gain of 2. So it does look like they are trying a couple guys back there from the backfield. They've got Campbell. We've seen Baptiste a few times. But Cole Scott's been the one to find the most success thus far. Manitow at the 37-yard line. And we'll see if they get another.
Yeah, they're going to have to rush.
Yeah, they
have
just to.
12 seconds left.
10 seconds in the half. 6 seconds on the play clock. Here's Beecham.
Oh, fumble.
Yep. Snap goes wide. Beecham
Perry
brought down back on the other side of the 50-yard line to end the first half. Big momentum for the first quarter. To end the first quarter, rather. I said half.
Yeah. It didn't look like it was necessarily a bad snap. It just ricocheted off the quarterback's hands there and bounced clean back to
straight
the 30s.
Back.
Almost the 37, I believe it was. And Matthew Perry right there able to bring him down as soon as he touched the ball. So a big play, big momentum change for the Owls there as we head into the second quarter.
So we're going to flip the field, and Manitow is going to be back in their own territory to start it off with a third and long. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Did you know that peripheral arterial disease, or PAD, affects 12 million Americans and is found most commonly in people over age 50 with a history of smoking, diabetes, high blood pressure, or heart disease? How do you know if you have PAD? PAD often begins with poor growth of toenails and leg hair, often progressing to calf pain when walking, foot pain when sleeping, or open sores or wounds on feet and legs that heal poorly or not at all. Toes and feet may become discolored. At Allegheny Vein and Vascular, the office of Dr. Bob Tejera, we are dedicated to helping patients with PAD achieve victories like walking and sleeping without pain, healing wounds, and ultimately to prevent amputations. For more information or to schedule your appointment, call 368-8490. That's 368-8490. Self-referrals are welcome, and most insurances are accepted. Allegheny Vein and Vascular is located at 900 Chestnut Street in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back for the second quarter. Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports. Homecoming night with the Owls leading Manitow 14-0. And just before the end of the first quarter, a botched snap took Manitow back across into their own field to the 48-yard line. So a third and 24, and it's going to be a gain of maybe 5 yards on that one.
Yeah, a quick pass out to the left-hand side, so the away sideline there. But as soon as he caught and turned to make a move, Jake France was there to bring him down for two. I mean, a good gain there, but only about five. So that's going to leave a fourth and 19 for Manitow. They're definitely going to be back in punt position.
And Manitow now, as the punt comes out, is going to be punting from left to right on your radio as we flip the field. Bradford returning right to left.
Yeah, Gleason and Kohler back deep for the Owls.
Here's the punt. That one's not even as far as the one that he had to get rid of on the fly.
No, not even close. That looked like the ball bounced out about the 28-yard line there. So it'll be first and 10 Bradford from the 28. Let's see. They had a lot of success that first series running the ball with Jordan, and they kind of got away with it in the second series. I mean, granted, it brought success, but I wonder if they're going to go back to that. Or
yeah, the two-possession lead, I think you have the every reason to maybe see if that run game can move the chains and run the clock, and then open up a little play action maybe, a little shot down for Franz or Perry, Kohler, Ward, name it.
Yeah, there's several weapons we have out there.
Three guys in the backfield with Reese. Takes the snap, and it's dropped.
Oh,
Reese
wow.
Somehow picks it up, sheds a tackle, and is able to turn upfield for a nice little gain, six yards maybe.
Yeah, he broke the – they started on the far hash mark there, so a little bit of a trouble with the snap there, but Reese was able to pick it up, run towards the opposing sideline there, and bring it out for about a six-yard gain.
Have liked a lot of the play calling tonight here for the Owls as they, you know, we mentioned that little delayed screen play on the third down that converted for a first. Franz in the middle of the field for the touchdown, which we've only seen him basically outside the hash marks, usually even outside the numbers. Here's second and four. And Reese going to drop back. He's going to let one go to Franz. It's caught at the sideline. Wonderful catch from Jake Franz for a first down to about the 42-yard line.
Yeah, again, Jake Franz came up from, he was lined up on the near hash mark. He went out about 15 yards and then cut straight towards the home stands there. And Talon Reese threw an absolute dime, hit him perfectly in stride. So that brings up a first down, first and 10 from the 42 for the Owls.
Yeah, Franz in an all-out sprint to the sideline, coming towards his own bench. Sticks the hands out, pulls that one in. Really nice job. Now on the left hash mark is Reese. This one will be a play action. And he's got A.J. Gleason with room across midfield. Breaks a tackle and getting to the 40-yard line in Manitow territory.
Yeah, heck of a play by both Reese and Gleason there. He was able to come up with the catch and deflect, bounce off one tackler, and it took two more to be able to bring him down. So a heck of a play there.
Really nice job selling the handoff on the play action there.
Yeah, the Owls get into opposing territory at about the 40-yard line, so looks like about an 18-yard gain for the Owls.
Second quarter contestant for Toji's Touchdown Sweepstakes is Shane Ludwig. Shane, if the Owls score here in the second quarter, you win a free lunch special from Toji's Substation. If they do not score, you win a free dinner off the Value Pack Meals menu at Toji's Family Restaurant. Toji's Touchdown Sweepstakes, we get four winners every week. You can sign up at either location. Here's Jordy Thompson on the run, and he finds a little bit of room, shimmies and shakes, and gets a nice little gain.
Yeah, Jordan showing his shiftiness and his quickness tonight. Was able to get a couple steps and get outside into the far hash mark there, and looked like about an 8-yard gain for the Owls. So, and,
yeah.
Jordy really tearing it up so far tonight. Good to see that.
Second and two from the 32.
The Owls just kind of moving the ball at will at this point, so. After setting through last week's game, that's pretty exciting for us to see.
That is nice. That is a nice sight. Reese out of the backfield, another handoff to Jordy, breaks a couple more tackles, is brought down, and kind of a strange end to that play there.
Yeah, I'm not real
sure. But Jordy looks fine.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he wasn't tackled in the backfield. His elusiveness again, but he was down on a knee, and then another Manitow player came in and hit him. So not real sure how that was not called.
Gleason and Franz just showcased their handshake here near the 35, looking at a third and two.
Yeah, it looked like no gain on the play for Jordan. So third and two for the Owls from the 32.
Oh, no. Motion before the snap, and the snap hit the motioning player.
Fumble on the play.
And Manitow came up with the ball there, so a little bit of a momentum shift here.
What a weird... luckily, that was such a freak play that I don't know, you know, how much Manitow is going to be, you know, real pumped up about it themselves.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a three-man backfield. Reese went to send a man in motion from left to right, and just as he got behind center, they snapped the ball. I don't know if that was a little confusion there by the center, but it's first and 10 now for Manitow from the 34. Handoff and room to go.
Oof.
Met at the 40 and is somehow able to fall forward after a big hit.
Yeah,
AJ, to the 42.
AJ Gleason again there, drove his shoulder right into him and was driving him when he was somehow was able to fall forward. So another big hit by AJ. He's playing as we've come to expect him to play. I mean, the big hits and the interception and just all over the field so far tonight.
So that's a gain of 9. Going to bring up a second and 1 from the 43. So the Manitow run game is showing signs of life here.
Oh,
and just as I said that, brought down 3-4 Bradford defenders in the backfield for a loss.
Yeah, Evan Whitmore with first contact there. And Jordan Thompson came in to help clean that up. So another big play by Whitmore. He's up to 5 tackles already tonight.
Wow. That was the first time we had seen them get to Cole Scott, as he had basically he had probably been averaging 8 yards a carry before that one there. Loss of a yard to bring up third and 2. Scott's still in the backfield. Beecham out of the shotgun. He's got to roll out. Pressure there. And he's wrapped up, brought down for no gain. Might have made it back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Jake Avers made first contact there, just right at the line of scrimmage, it looks like. And Evan Whitmore, again, came in to help clean up the mess there. So first tackle on the night so far for Jake Avers, which I'm sure will not be his only one, as he's been a pretty solid defender for the Owls this year.
It brings up a 4th and 2. Interesting because it's, you know, a little bit shorter yardage, 4th and 2 yards to go, but from their own 42. So they will punt it away.
Yeah, I'm not trusting this formation. There might be a little sneakage in here.
Yeah, it does look a little funny.
I guess not.
Nope, ball is up. I got a lot of hang time, but didn't get far. It's going to bounce at the opposing 40 and go out of bounds.
Yeah, again, that first punt that he had was the best punt he had. He was on the run and under distress. I mean, his last two punts from being able to set up like he typically would have only been about 18 to 20 yards. I mean, so not real effective punting so far for the Manitow Warriors.
Yeah, that one only went about 20 yards. Yeah, almost be better off just flinging the ball back there, having him go get it and punt it away. That's when he really let one go about 50 yards on that first punt.
So that's going to bring up a 1st and 10 for the Owls from their own 39-yard line.
Pretty good field position here for the Owls following that freak fumble on the last drive. Reese tries to flip one over the top, but there's hands on it, and it'll fall incomplete.
Yeah, that's a nice play by the Manitow defender. I mean, he was being pushed back, but Reese still had time to get rid of it, but the guy was able to get his paw up there and bat that one down. So.
You know, we talked about that earlier in the season, about how you don't see a lot of guys you know, trying to get to the quarterback are a second too late, but then as soon as they see the ball go up, put their hands up just to see if they can't bat it down.
Yep.
So credit to that Warrior defender there for doing just that. Empty backfield for Reese on 2nd and 10. Flag on the snap there, as we're probably looking at a false start, which, you know, credit to the Owls. That's something they've struggled with, and we made it through about halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah, and only their second penalty so far tonight, which might seem excessive for some, but for the Owls, that's pretty decent.
It's an improvement coming off of the last few weeks. Even through those two wins at Cottersport, the false starts were a big problem.
Yeah.
And hosting Otto Eldred, holding was a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, they had 7 holding calls in the Otto Eldred game alone, so big improvement there, knock on wood.
Second and 15 here. Reese, quick flip to A.J. Gleason, little shovel pass, and he's going to get a gain of a couple.
Yeah, just tried to throw him off, a little decisiveness for the Owls there, but didn't fool the Warrior line at all, and they were able to bring A.J. down after just a couple-yard gain.
Yeah, I don't mind the play call there. It worked on that delayed screen from earlier. They needed like a 10-yard pickup and just went with the short pass and was able to get it after the catch. They try the similar thought there with the shovel pass. Doesn't work, but it brings up a 3rd and 13.
Yeah, just over six minutes remaining in the first half here for the Bradford Owls.
Reese is going to drop back. He's rolling out to his left. There's another flag. The pass is caught by Franz, and he dives forward. If that flag is not on the Owls, they're going to be about a 4th and 1 situation.
Yeah, I didn't really see anything that stuck out there, but the ref's going to let us know here.
The timing and placement would indicate a hold on the Owls.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to guess here. And it came from the near side judge here, the flag hit.
And they are discussing it now.
So potentially wiping out a big gain for the Owls.
And now heading over to the Montauk sideline.
It looks like Montauk is going to accept the penalty when we find out what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
Holding on the Owls. So that what would have been a 4th and 1 from the 49 is going to bring up a 3rd and 20-something. Third and 23. Who? My goodness, from the 27-yard line.
Dang. So it's going to be 3rd and 1 mile. Still got 3 guys in the backfield there with Talon.
Yeah, they like that formation here. High snap. Talon handles it. Tries to float it over to Reese, who would have had to make a couple moves in order to turn it into a big enough reception for any sort of first, but it falls incomplete.
Yeah, he just tried a quick pass over here to Franz, and he was unable to come up with the catch. But however, if he did, there were still 6 or 8 yards between him and the defender, so it would have taken some fancy moves to get around to get to the first down. But either way, incomplete pass is going to bring up a 4th and 23 from the 27 for the Owls, and it looks like they have freshman Brody Haviland in there to punt.
Yeah, Haviland will punt it away. That's the first offensive drive that we really seem stall out. While that punt doesn't get too awful much behind it, takes a nice Bradford roll to get across midfield, and it's going to come to a stop at the 48-yard line, Montauk territory. But that's the first drive we see Bradford kind of putter out. They had scored on their first 2, and then they had that really weird fumble on the motion play.
Yeah, and, take that holding call back, and that brings
that's
up a 4th and 1 for Owl. Change the whole complexion of that offensive series.
That's true. Yeah, could change a whole lot there. Hopefully in the long run, as far as the makeup of the game, it doesn't change too awful much.
So Montauk gets the ball back, 1st and 10, 5:40 to go here in the first half. They're at the 48-yard line on the near hash mark, working left to right.
There's a direct snap, it looked like.
Yeah, and it may have fooled a few people, but not Jordan Thompson. He was able to bring him down for just looks like about a 3-yard gain for the Warriors.
That went to Brendan Sankey for a 3-yard gain, 2nd and 7. It does get him over the midfield and into Bradford territory, 49-yard line. Montauk down currently 14-0, 5 minutes left until halftime, and Bradford gets possession coming out of the break. So they would rather attempt to cut that lead down to a 1-possession, 1-touchdown lead here in the next 5 minutes. Warriors.
Ooh, Bradford showing blit.
Gonna let one go. Oof. It's caught. Room to go. Bumped by Franz, but still on his feet. Wrapped up and dragged down by Adam Ward at the 10-yard line. A big gain for Monetaw.
Yeah, that was just a nice pass right over the middle. A quick out for them and for Monetaw Warriors. Able to haul it in on a perfect pass. And Jake Franz threw a shoulder in, but wasn't able to bring him down. But it looked like Adam Ward was able
Ward.
To. So. Game-saving touchdown by Adam Ward there. So let's see if the Owls defense, I fully expect them to stiffen up. They've been playing pretty well when it comes inside the red zone here.
First and goal from the 10. Yeah. And here's a run. Able to bounce off somehow. Got totally bunched up at the line of scrimmage. Bounced off, came off the left hash mark, and scampered his way into the end zone, did Cole Scott.
Yeah, the last two plays, Monetaw's done a quick snap up there, which is kind of throwing the Owls off their game a little bit doing that. So I'm sure some adjustments will be coming, but either way, that's going to be the score as it currently sets at 14-6 in favor of the Owls as Monetaw lines up for the PAT.
I don't know if Monetaw's, you know, dealing with bumps and bruises and injuries, or if they're just trying to find something new. But this Cole Scott, didn't read anything about him coming into the game, and he's been a spark tonight for the Warriors. The extra point is up and good, and it's going to make it 14-7. Bradford leads with 4 minutes, 20 seconds left in the first half. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
It's a good day to do with the all-new Marilla and Kinzu knives, part of a new line of modern, everyday carry knives from Case. Constructed with durable, anodized aluminum handles and high-grade S35VN blades, the Marilla and Kinzu easily flip open to make your everyday work quick and simple. And since they're named after local landmarks, their performance will inspire you to get out and do more. The modern Case Marilla and Kinzu, available every day at the Zippo Case Museum and Flagship Store.
B298CM Bradford. WESB Bradford. B107.5 FM. This is Bradford Owls High School Football.
Welcome back to Parkway Field, homecoming night. 4 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the first half, and Monetaw just got on the board to make it a one-score game. It's 14-7.
Yeah, Monetaw with only 10 guys out there, so they're rushing another guy in here for the kickoff.
And Monetaw, the Warriors, started with possession. So the Owls have 4 minutes, 20 seconds to go. They would like to milk a little bit of time, I'm sure, but also find the end zone, go up by 2 scores, and then start the third with another possession. And then they'd be sitting real pretty. We'll see how it plays out. Caught at the 25 is the ensuing
Brody
kickoff.
Brody Haviland with
Haviland
some space.
Cuts back and forth and across midfield. Haviland.
Yeah, a short kick, but Haviland able to come up with it at about the 30-yard line, and he gained about 20, 25 yards on there, so an impressive run back by Haviland.
Beautiful job, just zigzagging back and forth, letting the blockers do their work.
That may have been Jordy Thompson in on that kick return. I believe it was. Yeah, Jordan Thompson, number 26. 26, 28, got him. A little hard to see there.
I mean, that was a very nice return, just the movement back and forth, following blocks. First and 10 from the 46 in Monetaw territory. It's going to be a fake handoff and then completed and running towards the sideline, right towards the first down marker.
Is there no flag on that?
Doesn't seem to be.
Unreal. That was a nice flip out for a first down out to Logan Kohler, and he was brought down on the other side of the big, thick, white out-of-bounds line. But no flag there on Monetaw, but either way, first and 10 Owls from the, it's like about the 36-yard line.
Yeah, it does move the chains right where you said 36. First and 10. Let's see if the Owls, they do. They go back to that three-back set. Reese, another high snap, but he's able to control it. Get it to A.J. Gleason, who blocks a couple of, or breaks a couple tackles in the backfield and is able to turn it into a short game.
Yeah, one Monetaw defenseman got back in there. He was able to bounce off him, then a quick spin move to gain about 3 yards for A.J.
Yeah, it could have been a loss of a couple or a no gain at best. He somehow turns it into a gain of 3 for a 2nd and 7 as the clock approaches the 3.5-minute mark of the first half. The Owls, again, still working from right to left. They're currently at the 33-yard line, right hash mark. Here's the snap. Reese with some time is going to get it to Gleason again, who's wrapped up, but not until after he gets that first down yardage at the 25-yard line.
Yeah, that was an absolute impressive throw by Talon there. I mean, A.J. was surrounded by two Montauk defensemen, and Talon just threw an absolute laser right on target to A.J. So first down for the Owls.
Reese takes the snap. Looking, airs one out. He's got Franz deep. Franz.
Oh, my God! No flag on that. You know, Jimmy, there's been three no calls tonight that are quite questionable, in my opinion. And that one was the most obvious.
That one might have been the most obvious. Yeah, I mean, we're from the far, we're on the opposite sideline. So the one that you were just mentioning is hard for us to see. That one looked like a lot of contact as Franz was. I mean, I guess the argument is, was it a catchable ball because it was overthrown?
Oh, I think that was absolutely catchable.
I believe so, too. I believe so, too. But I think that's the only reasonable argument you can make. Here is Reese trying to flip it over the top, and it falls incomplete. It's going to bring up a third and 10 from the 25.
Yeah, the pass protection just broke down, flat out broke down on that one, and Montauk was able to get back there, and their defenseman jumped up and was able to tip another pass. I believe that's his second tip pass tonight, so that's going to bring up a third and 10 from the 25 for the Owls.
I was there, the no call that we mentioned. I don't know if we actually finished calling the play that was happening. It was Reese in the end zone on the left side of the field all by himself, outran the defender. Now Reese is going to get...
Yeah.
Rolled up for no gain, or Franz rather, in the end zone all by himself, had outran his defender and got pushed, got a lot of extended arms, you know, very visible extended arms, and that last play turns into a loss of two, so fourth and 12.
Yeah, the Owls looks like a little bit of a breakdown in protection the last couple of plays here, so hopefully just survive through the rest of this first half and regroup at halftime. Because yeah. They don't look like the same team they did when they came out those first two drives.
First quarter, second quarter is a pretty striking difference. They're going to go for it here deep in their own territory. Or in Montauk territory, rather. Reese in trouble. Little hop back move. Freeze him up. And he's got a man there. AJ Gleason at the 10. Runs forward for the first down and gets inside the 10 to about the 8-yard line. Big play there made by Reese.
Yeah, Reese just using his ability to extend plays and able to flip that ball out to A.J. Gleason for a big gain for the Owls. I'm glad he went there, but he did have Jake Franz wide open, nobody around him in the end zone. But either way, first down Owls, first and goal from the 8 with 1:55 and counting on the clock.
Yeah, took the sure thing there, I think Franz did, as that was good coverage and the pocket started to go. Franz hopped out of it, created time. Now here's a look to Franz, who had it and lost it.
Just barely. Nobody around him. He beat his defender big time, but just unable to come up with the catches. Nobody's more upset right now than Jake as he sees him holding his head, but...
Yeah, that was Reese found him at the 2-yard line and put it on the numbers. Franz had it, lost it, just as he was turning, kind of, you know, was thinking about having that completed, turning toward the end zone, and it
just
dropped
out. And it looks like Montauk calls a timeout here with 1:41 left in the half.
Yeah, we'll take a tax-in timeout as well. It's 14-7 here as we approach halftime. Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Is your insurance coverage up to date? Call Burns & Burns and talk with Ben Kirsch about a free insurance review. Whether it's auto, home, life, health, Medicare, business, workers' comp, or benefits, let Burns & Burns advise you on the best coverages for you. Call Ben Kirsch at 814-368-7161 or stop by the new office location at 10 Chestnut Street in Bradford. Burns & Burns, a trusted full-service agency for over 80 years, now at 10 Chestnut Street in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Parkway Field. Minute 41. That's second and 8 from the 8. Or second and goal from the 8, rather. For the Owls. Hand off to Gleason. He's going to get touched up in the backfield. And nothing doing there for AJ.
Looks like there's some laundry on the field out there, so we'll see what this penalty is.
Yeah, not a great sign for the Owls, as seemingly every flag has gone against them, and we've seen things that haven't been called on the other side.
Yep, it's going to be a holding call against the Owls.
Holding against Bradford. That is a 10-yard penalty. It remains
10 yards will bring that second end goal from the 18. Minute 35 to go. The Owls would really benefit. I mean, obviously, he'd benefit from a touchdown. Really benefit just to getting into halftime here, even if it remains this score, because the first quarter looked like a very different team. They just need a little regroup. Here's a pass, and looked like it was caught, but was he able to maintain possession? He was.
It is. They have to pass on the sideline to Adam Ward, so the first time we've called his number tonight.
Unbelievable catch.
Yeah, that was an exceptional catch on Adam's behalf. As the clock's running here, it brings the ball down to the 4-yard line.
Yeah.
So third and goal from the 4 with 1 minute remaining for the Owls.
Wonderful job from Ward there to make that catch. And Reese deliver that ball. Reese with split backs here. 50 seconds to go.
Here's another flag.
Yeah, another flag.
This is getting a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, looks like the Owls are moving back for another false start. Has Monotau had? We haven't seen a Monotau penalty yet, have we?
No, not
that I remember. No. So call it third and goal from the 9, 46 seconds to go. And Reese, you know, the Owls, despite all that, still trying to make something happen. They've got Franz out wide to the left side in split backs. It's a handoff to Thompson, who's going to get bunched up at the line, and that's going to bring up a fourth down with 30 seconds to go.
Yeah, it looks like he only gained about a yard on that play. So.
They're kind of letting this one run down, so must be they plan on calling a timeout, I suppose.
Yeah, it looks like that's what they're going to do.
Because they're not going to get a snap off here.
No way. Yeah, Coach Puglio's out there to call a timeout.
Yeah, okay, so 1.9.
Yep, 2 seconds, 1.9.
We're going to keep it here through the timeout, as it's going to be the last play before halftime. So we'll lay it out for you. Fourth and goal from the 9. We've been at the 3 and at the 4 for being brought back a couple of times for false starts.
Yeah, just I'm not a fan of games that the refs have so much control over. And this one is definitely controlled by the refs up until this point, anyway.
So. Yeah, you never want it to affect the outcome of the game, which will obviously remain to be seen. But we saw one likely touchdown get wiped out by a DIP or a DPI rather that was not called.
Yep.
We've seen the false starts here on the.
Yep. The late hit over
this
Cole
entire
on the far sideline was questionable at best.
That's right. This entire goal line stand. So it went for a
flag.
A field goal, but the went for a field goal, but the snap was. Mishandled.
And yet again, another flag on the play.
Well, if this is on the Owls, they would just decline it and go into halftime. It's offsides on Monotau.
Oh.
Holy cow. So their first penalty of the game is actually a huge one, as that's going to put no time on the clock, but will allow, as the half cannot end with a penalty, cannot end with a defensive penalty. So there's just one untimed snap here, half the distance to the goal. We'll make it 4th and 5.
Yeah, big break for the Owls there. So if they happen to score, which I hope they
not
do
going
on this,
for
then
the
they
field
get
goal.
They get the ball. Oh, looks like the ref's blowing a stop to the play.
They were going for the field goal on 4th and 9. Now they are not lined up for a field goal here on 4th and 5.
Yeah, they're definitely going to shoot for an end zone.
Oh, they are going to put time on the clock. Okay. Last time we saw this, it was an untimed play.
Right, right. So 1.9 put back on the clock by our scorekeeper, Mike, over here, who, mind you, if you see him, he is a big Dolphins fan, all you Bills fans out there. So if you see him, make sure you let him know about it.
A lot of Dolphins fans this week. 70 points, my word. Here is fourth down. Into the end zone. Jake France, touchdown, Owls.
Yes, that's an exact replica of the play that he just missed here earlier in this down, but he's able to come up with it now. So the Owls get that replay on half a distance of the goal on the offsides call against Monita, and they capitalize. So they took the ball from the five-yard line on the far hash mark. Reese dropped back and just fired an absolute strike over to Jake France in the near corner of the end zone. So that puts the Owls up 20-7 right now with no time left on the clock.
Huge catch for France as he was, you know, we saw his reaction to that drop. He had it. I mean, that ball was his. He was about to turn and walk into the end zone and dropped and buried his head into his hands. Now he gets the redemption. Same play, made the catch, same spot, turned, walked into the end zone. Touchdown, Owls. They go up by two possessions heading into the locker room. Just the PAT here is keeping us up. And they get possession to start the third quarter. Refs are back out onto the field again. Here we go. Now we'll get underway. Snap.
Yeah, and looks like it's true.
That is good.
No good. Wow.
Must have went wide left. Must have came to our side because it looks good from here. So that is going to – we'll see if that plays a part in the narrative of the game later on as that keeps it a 13-point lead as opposed to a 14-point. 20-7 Bradford leads here on homecoming night against Monita. We're going to take our first break getting into the halftime show. Presented by C.J. Wallace Engineering in Bradford. When we come back, we'll do a scoring recap. We'll also have some halftime stats, and I believe we'll have a Frets recap as well from their game this week. And it'll be an extended halftime as the Owls celebrate homecoming here at Parkway Field. Again, 20-7, Bradford leads Monita. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports is brought to you by these local sponsors. The Model T Inn, Allegheny Bradford Corporation, Allegheny Vein and Vascular, W.R. Case & Sons, Toji's Family Restaurant, Toji's Substation, Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate, Burns & Burns Insurance, Team Minor, In Tandem, Thacker Development, Dexter's Service and Collision, Zimmerman Real Estate, Gleason Construction, and Ameriprise Financial. This is Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports, 1490 AM, B107.5 FM, and streaming at WESB.com and 100.1 The Heroes mobile apps.
It's the family bar with the car, the Model T Inn in Derrick City. You'll always get great meals and a relaxed family atmosphere at the Model T. Stop in Fridays and treat yourself to one of Jason's delicious fish fries and their other tasty menu items anytime. Relax and enjoy your dinner or drinks outdoors on their beautiful expanded deck and patio area. You'll love it. Whenever you're looking for a great night out, meet your friends at the family bar with the car. The Model T Inn in Derrick City.
It's Friday Night Lights, and the Bradford Owls are ready to bring it. Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate knows that teamwork and dedication are the keys to success. Kathy applauds the Bradford area high school football players, cheerleaders, band members, and coaches. Play hard, play smart, have fun. Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate is a proud sponsor of the Bradford Owls. Let's go, Owls!
In Tandem is a leading provider of services to people with developmental disabilities and mental health concerns in Western New York. With all that's changed over the years, In Tandem's mission has remained constant: quality care, support, and togetherness. We are better together, and you may just be better with them. In Tandem is a major employer of direct care workers, nurses, and other human services professionals with new pay rates and a strong benefit package. In Tandem is a great place to build a career. Visit intandem.org to find out how you can make a difference today.
It's a good day to do with the all-new Marilla and Kinzu knives, part of a new line of modern, everyday carry knives from Case. Constructed with durable, anodized aluminum handles and high-grade S35VN blades, the Marilla and Kinzu easily flip open to make your everyday work quick and simple. And since they're named after local landmarks, their performance will inspire you to get out and do more. The modern Case Marilla and Kinzu, available every day at the Zippo Case Museum and Flagship Store.
Is your insurance coverage up to date? Call Burns & Burns and talk with Ben Kirsch about a free insurance review. Whether it's auto, home, life, health, Medicare, business, workers' comp, or benefits, let Burns & Burns advise you on the best coverages for you. Call Ben Kirsch at 814-368-7161 or stop by the new office location at 10 Chestnut Street in Bradford. Burns & Burns, a trusted full-service agency for over 80 years, now at 10 Chestnut Street in Bradford.
Team Miner is your source for custom screen printing and embroidery, team uniforms, t-shirts, hats, and more. From concept to completion, Team Miner in Bradford is there for you. Team Miner provides top quality products and exceptional design done by professionals, so there's no need to go online or leave town. And with decades of experience, Team Miner can bring you the best quality at the best price. For more information, go to teamminer.com, and remember, when it looks good, people will wear it.
Team Miner!
Helping bring you this football broadcast is a special group of sponsors, the WESB Winner's Circle. Participants include these local area businesses: W.R. Case & Sons, makers of quality American-made knives since 1889, Dexter's Service & Collision on West Washington Street in Bradford, and In Tandem in Olean, enhancing the lives of people with disabilities through supports and services. Winner's Circle sponsors putting you in the game all season long, right here on your season ticket, WESB Sports in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome to the Bradford Owls Halftime Show, presented by C.J. Wallace Engineering in Bradford. On WESB Sports, homecoming night for the Owls hosting Montauk. The score we have currently is 20-7. Bradford leads, 13-point lead, and they will have possession coming out of the locker room for the third quarter. We're going to do a quick scoring recap, a little play by possession by possession breakdown here of that first half. And it kind of the tale of two quarters there.
Absolutely.
Very different looks for the Owls and actually for Montauk as well. Less of the first quarter, second quarter, but it was more like the first two possessions, the middle few possessions, and then the last couple possessions.
Sure, absolutely. And the Owls, I mean, they're still fighting. Montauk's got some fight at them, so let's see what we got for the scoring recap, Jimmy.
It does very much look like Montauk is trying to play up to the level that they need to keep this a game. And so far, Bradford's able to fend him off. Montauk opened the game with possession. That first return is actually a pretty nice return, but it doesn't do him too awful much as they end up going on their third play, an interception to A.J. Gleason. So they immediately turn it right over to Bradford, who strikes Jordy Thompson with a run. Actually, the first play was a flag, false start. False start flag, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Jordy Thompson with a pair of runs on the third offensive play, third snap, rather, fourth play, including the penalty. Jordy Thompson goes 35 yards for a touchdown, and the Owls look great to start off this game. 7-0. Everything's working. We've got the interception. We've got the running TD. Montauk gets the ball back on their second possession. They go 3-and-out and got to punt it away. And Bradford marches back downfield again, this time primarily through the passing game. And Talon Reese finds Jake Franz in the middle of the field, 15 yards out. The extra point there is good, and it's 14-0. The Owls have a nice two-possession lead, fire in on all cylinders. Montauk in their next possession has to punt it away again, and the Owls get the ball back. This is where we end the first quarter, and seemingly the rest of the game is very different, or the rest of the half is very different. Bradford on that possession where they ended the first quarter, started the second, they were still moving the ball very well, but that possession ended with a very strange fumble as they were in this three-back set. It's split backs, but with another man in front of the halfback to the left side. Reese tried to send that halfback in motion, and as soon as he was lined up in front of center, the snap happened, and it just bounced right off of him. Monatol was able to jump on top of it to recover the fumble. They didn't score on that drive. They end up having to punt it away, but ever since that, Bradford's offense has just kind of not looked the same for whatever reason. A lot of it has been as the result of a lot of flags and or no calls, in our opinion, at least. Bradford had to punt it away after that. Monatol then ends up getting their first touchdown of the game. It's a 10-yard run from Cole Scott, who had really given Bradford kind of the best that Monatol has had so far. A pair of or three or so 9-yard runs, and then this 10-yard touchdown. 14-7 is the score there. Bradford gets it back with a few minutes left on the clock. They are able to, with a really nice return, get across midfield on the ensuing kickoff. They march down, get a couple of looks at the end zone. One is a drop from Franz. One is a possible pass interference call that doesn't get called. They get to a first and goal situation inside the 10, brought back from a holding call. Worked their way back up forward inside of the 5, brought back by a false start call, worked their way back and forward again. They somehow, with 0 seconds, or, well, 1.9 seconds left on the clock, find a 5-yard touchdown pass from Talon Reese to Jake Franz. Extra point, though, is no good, and that's how we get to 20-7. So a really kind of a strange shift there in the first half.
Yeah, it didn't really seem like neither team really took control of momentum at all, and they were just kind of scraping back and forth and going through the motions. But the Owls did look like they found a little bit of something at the end of the first half there. And,
yeah.
And, you know, the first three plays of the game were all runs to Jordan Thompson. I mean, 50 yards on three runs, including that big 35-yard touchdown. So I can see the Owls going back to running the ball up the middle like they had been a little bit. However, on the reverse side of that, Talon looks really good tonight.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, he's rolled out a couple times. He's hit some really tough passes that he's put the ball right on the numbers. A couple no calls in there killed a drive or two for the Owls, but they're out here fighting, and for, I'm proud of them for that. I mean, they're coming off an 86-0 loss. It's got to be tough to put the pads back on and get out there and do your thing. But they seem pretty fired up for this. So.
Yeah, the kids are resilient, that's for sure. And currently with the 2-possession lead, again, going to have possession coming out. I think a little locker room visit, a little regroup will serve them very well because they were so focused, had a great game plan coming in, and then some things just didn't work out as well. You know, from we're up here in the press box, obviously, so from our point of view, we've seen, you know, a couple of no calls or what have you. If that is, you know, the way that Pulio and the Owl seed as well, they're going to have to play whatever game the refs give them, whether that is, you know, maybe we do have to go back to the run because maybe, you know, Monatol is getting away with some stuff. We need to incorporate that. Who knows? I don't know. But either way, they're in good position now because they scored that touchdown to end the first half. And it's gonna pay dividends, I think. If they're able to march downfield to start the third and go up by a third touchdown, then that's gonna be a nice way to start the second half here on homecoming night with a lot of momentum and a large, loud crowd as well.
Yeah, really exceptional student section tonight. They're bringing the basketball black hole to the football field tonight. So there's a lot of students out there, which is always good to see. And again, it always seems to get bigger and bigger every game. So
yeah, all blacked out tonight is the Owls fan section, student section. We've got another quick break ahead before we get to the first half stats and a recap of the Frets game this week as well. It's the Bradford Owls halftime show presented by CJ Wallace Engineering on WESB Sports.
Gleason Construction Incorporated is Bradford's top family-owned and operated general contractor, providing general construction services and specializing in new commercial buildings since 2017. Gleason Construction Incorporated offers everything from the ground up, including concrete and foundation work, carpentry, excavation, landscaping, and so much more.
Visit their website at Gleason-Construction.com to find out more about what Gleason Construction Incorporated can do for you.
Toji's Family Restaurant on East Main Street has all homemade Italian specialties. Spaghetti and meatballs, baked lasagna, chicken parm, chicken spinach alfredo, plus fresh cut steaks and fresh beer battered fish fries 7 days a week. Enjoy their fresh garden bar buffet with homemade soups. Check out their authentic 28-foot full-service boat bar. Toji's on-premise banquet room caters up to 125. Open every day, even holidays. For delivery, call 36-TOJI'S.
Navigating the housing market can be a challenge, whether you're buying or selling a home. Talk to Zimmerman Realty, a team of real estate experts in our area. Zimmerman Realty can introduce you to the most up-to-date listings in Bradford, Smethport, and Eldred. They can even show you properties that are listed with other real estate agencies. If you're looking to sell, Zimmerman Realty offers a free market analysis to help you determine the value of your home. Visit their website and sign up today at ZimmermanRealtyLLC.com.
Owned locally, respected worldwide, that's the Allegheny Bradford family of companies in Lewis Run. They're a leading manufacturer, supplier, and service provider of quality stainless steel products used the world over, from small food processors to giant pharmaceutical companies. Allegheny Bradford, Allegheny Surface Technology, and ABC Actini. Owned locally, respected worldwide. To see all they do and explore employment opportunities, visit them online at AlleghenyBradford.com.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to the Bradford Owls Halftime Show, presented by C.J. Wallace Engineering in Bradford. Halftime, teams in the locker room, 20-7 is the score. Bradford leads. It's homecoming night, and they will have possession here to start the third. We got through our scoring recap and talked a little bit about how that first half broke down. Why don't we break it down even further, Mark, as you put your statistician hat on?
Yeah, again, these stats are only ballpark because it gets quite difficult to write numbers and do the game at the same time here. But defensively for the Owls so far, two standouts have been A.J. Gleason with that interception and a couple big hits in there for could be the Love Toyota collision of the game. And also Evan Whitmore, even though he came off the field there with an apparent ankle injury, has been back out there. He's got six tackles so far, two of those for a loss. So Evan picking up where he left off. Offensively for the Owls, the highlights are Talon Reese, 13 for 20, 135 yards with two touchdowns thrown. Jordan Thompson, seven rushes, 59 yards, including that 35-yard TD run. And Jake France, five catches, 53 yards, and that five-yard touchdown run there, or touchdown catch there at the end of the first half.
Yeah, I think that was his second TD. Yeah, 15 yards out in the first quarter and 5 yards in the second quarter.
Yeah, you're correct. I apologize. Again, like I said, my
you're good. Plus, you're taking from one paper and writing down in the other. I think you had it in your stats, but you're also transferring from one paper to another. But that's going to make it tough when we go to decide the Model T MVP of the game. We've got Franz with a pair of TDs. Thompson's looked real good, and I think it's going to come down to how the second half shakes out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if we can step away from this game for a minute, our weekly run down of the Fretz score.
Yes.
So I got to give credit where credit's due. And the Fretz football team's gotten a lot of publicity this week, if you guys have seen on social media.
Yeah. We had a story about that on our very own WESB News.
Yeah, and also on the front page of today's paper, quarterback Lucas Wallace was shaking hands with Tony Magnetti.
Oh.
Tony Magnetti, who was a longtime youth coach here in Bradford and a well-loved and respected man. So Fretz getting some good publicity. That's not only a testament to the parent, but also the coaches down there. Mike Gow.
Go ahead, Mike Gow.
Really doing well down there. I'm going to give him credit. But not only him, but Coach Ekstrom, Coach Williams. Those kids love those guys down there, and they're doing a fantastic job. So kudos to those guys. So last night, Fretz traveled down to St. Mary's, where they took on the Flying Dutchman. They took a 14-0 halftime lead and turned it into a 35-12 win. Lucas Wallace had three rushing touchdowns on seven carries for 115 yards. Bentley Evans, four rushes, 82 yards and a touchdown. Carson Halleck had a two-point conversion. Jaron Lorman had four complete or good point after. So four for four there. Yep. Lucas Wallace also returned an interception 65 yards for a touchdown on defense. Miles Bundy had a fumble recovery, and Keenan Miller and Lucas Wallace, five tackles to lead the team there. And Kayvon Jones was able to come up with a muffed punt recovery for our Owls down there. So Bradford looking good. They've won a couple games in a row. They're 500 now. And next Thursday night, they'll be playing right here at Parkway Field as they host the Du Bois Beavers. So come on out and check out the Little Owls and what they got going on down there. So three games here next week at Parkway Field to check out some Owls football.
They get to get out on the field, on the big boy field, Parkway Field, under the lights.
Yeah, JV plays Monday night here. Thursday night, the Fretz Middle School Owls will be up here. And then, of course, next Friday night, the Varsity Owls are here again for another 7 o'clock kickoff on a Friday night.
That's right. Next week, hosting Brookville,
yes, sir.
I believe, for week 7. You love to hear a win about that for Fretz, as it was literally all three fats. It's had the takeaways on defense, takeaways on special teams, plus the offensive touchdowns. Good all around.
Yeah, they had a couple tough games to start out the season, but since then they've been playing very well. They've been playing as a team, and it seems like they're able to get momentum quick in these games, and just they're relentless. They really are. So very proud of the Little Owls down there.
So, again, another nice win for Fretz, and they'll be here, Parkway Field, Thursday night. You can come check them out in the big Parkway Field stands, and we'll be back Friday broadcasting live the Owls Week 7 against Brookville. We've got to get through the rest of homecoming first, though, as Montetal is the first team to retake the field out of the locker room. And they will come to the far sideline, Creekside end zone, and get stretched out for the second half. The Owls now coming down next to the school. 20-7, the Owls lead. They will have possession. We talked a little bit about what worked, what didn't. In that first half, we've got two Talon Reese passing touchdowns with a third possibly being taken away from a pass interference, and a fourth with just a drop that
sure.
Franz was able to make up on an identical play later on.
Yeah, just a couple plays later, he was able to make good on that.
So to your point, Reese has been, really on. I mean, I mentioned his completion rate going into tonight. I got to assume he's pretty much keeping in line with that as well. And he's an accurate guy. We know that. But we also saw the success that Jordy Thompson was having out of the backfield in the first possession as well. So I do wonder which one they'll start with here in the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it could go either way, really. I mean, and neither whichever one they choose is not wrong.
Yeah,
I mean they're going to be successful by, if we judge off the first half, they're going to be successful no matter which route they take, and I think these kids, I mean, they come out, they're fired up as they're out in their circle during their warm up, and the Owls look ready to go here. I was just counting too. There's 25 players on the Montetal team.
25.
That's even smaller than what Otto Eldred had here a few weeks ago.
Even the roster, I think, has like 32, something like that. 25 is very light, as they might be, who knows, dealing with injuries. Sometimes you get to the middle of the season, you lose a couple. Sometimes you gain a couple, but, yeah, Montetal can't even stretch out sideline to sideline here on the far end zone.
No, but they're definitely putting up some fight. I think they're a little bit better team than what their record shows.
Yes.
And and they're into it. I mean, they've been gritty. They've been up until the last second there. I mean, they're in this game.
Yeah.
And they're not out of it by any means yet.
Absolute credit to the Warriors, as we've seen. Beecham is controlling this team, and he is guiding the offense. We've seen a couple of guys, but a couple of names that, you look for the names, in the prep for the game. You go through, read a couple articles, maybe you read a couple game recaps, whatever. And, Beecham's name, obviously starting quarterback, is going to come up. You're going to read about their number one running back, Logan Campbell. He's the guy who has a pair of TDs on the ground, pair of TDs in the air, and the most yards all purpose. But the names that didn't come up are the ones that we're seeing the most of, namely Cole Scott, who has been very successful and found is the warrior who found the end zone here on the 10-yard run.
Yeah, he's looked very impressive. And if I read right, he's just a sophomore for the Warriors. So they have a pretty bright future by the looks of it with him in there.
Yeah, big, strong kid, too. And that's when we were talking about how they first got him the ball in a couple pitch plays. And that was the big difference, was that he was able to, he's big. And I don't know if, you know, he's got a lot of speed, but once he was able to get ahead of steam is really when they were able to open things up. The Owls have just stretched up. They're about to retake the sideline as we approach about 10 seconds left on the clock. Let's take one more quick 30-second break to mark the end of the halftime show presented by C.J. Wallace Engineering. We'll be back for kickoff of the third quarter of homecoming night. Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
When tomorrow is unpredictable, staying focused on your long-term financial goals matters more than ever. Count on your Ameriprise financial advisor for personalized, goal-based advice to help you navigate now and stay on track for tomorrow. Call Ameriprise financial advisor Bill Chapman with Hodgin Chapman & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, at 814-368-9160. That's 814-368-9160. Office is located at 50 Davis Street, Bradford, PA.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Parkway Field. Teams are ready to get lined up here for the opening kickoff of the second half. Bradford leads 20-7, homecoming night. And as we were trying to speculate there during halftime, if the pass game, run game would be more prevalent. You know, up 20-7, we haven't seen a lot of reason to not go with the run. I wonder if you try to keep that clock going and see if you can gain the yardage to keep moving the chains and stay with that lead. I know Pulio doesn't like the whole scoreboard watching. He doesn't like to take his foot off the gas, especially, you know, still this early into the game.
Sure.
But if you can move the chains and keep things fresh, that run game might be a good way to try to lock this one up early. Here's the ensuing kickoff, and it is going to roll out of bounds.
Yeah, pooch punt. It just kind of bounced off and rolled out about the 25-yard line, so it's going to be a flag for, I believe they call that, an illegal procedure on a kickoff?
Yeah, illegal procedure to the 35.
So, again, the Owls are going to start out here with good field position.
Yeah, tough break there for Montauk to start the third quarter as that one just took an unlucky bounce. 35-yard line. And Reese and the Owls' offense will retake the field.
It looks like they're going to start out with Jordy Thompson beside Reese in the backfield with Trips on the near side closest to us as your Owls are working right to left here.
Yeah, and this time Franz is in on the Trips as opposed to being the solo man on the far side. So just a couple of different looks here and there for the Owls, personnel-wise, formation-wise. Here's the snap. Reese looks immediately to his right, and it was caught and dropped. Bobbled and dropped there by Adam Ward.
Yeah, that was Ward. Yeah. Reese again throws a ball, I mean, just perfectly right to the number. Just Adam, just a little bit of heat on that pass.
Yeah.
Adam able to come down with it, and that would have been either a first down or awfully close to it. So
8 or more yards, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's going to bring up a 2nd and 10 for the Owls.
Yeah, I think that's been most of the drops tonight. We've seen a couple of, you know, just, you know, looking ahead, not securing the play before he turned upfield, particularly on that touchdown. But a lot of the drops have been just Reese hitting guys in the hands with a lot of mustard on that throw. Here's a snap, throw out to the flat, and he's got Kohler in motion. Oof. Kohler with a nice truck stick forward approaches midfield.
Boy, we might have a new contender for collision of the game.
That's right.
Logan Kohler, small in stature but not in strength, as he just, like you said, truck strip right over that defender for an Owl first down.
Yeah, lowered the boom with the full shoulder and a big head of steam for Kohler. And first down as he approaches midfield, 1st and 10 from the 50. Reese trips to the right now with Franz all alone on the left. High snap. Reese has it. Rolling out to his right side. Little trip. Still has his footing. Completed pass to Ward. First down, pushed out of bounds near the 35-yard line.
Yeah, that was just excellent vision by Adam Ward out there. Seeing his quarterback was in trouble, broke off his route, and ran back in towards the quarterback where Talon was able to see him and complete the pass for another Owls first down. So excellent play by the Owls.
Yep, came back to the ball. It's the rule in just about every high school sport. Basketball, pick up the dribble, come back to the ball. Quarterback's in trouble, come back to the ball. That's what Ward did.
So first the Owls and 10. Start out three straight pass plays here.
Yeah, we were wondering, and looks like the passing will be prevalent here early on in the second half. First and 10 from the 35. Quick play action and another completed pass to Ward. He's trying as after he broke a tackle, nice little move there to stretch out for the first, but he's going to come up just a yard or two short.
Yeah, again, another one of the quick passes the Owls have become noted for as they've been very successful all year with that type of play. So that one goes from Talon to Adam Ward for a gain of 8 for the Owls.
Speculated that a little bit of a reset and regathering would benefit the Owls greatly. Seems to be paying off here early in the third as they are back to marching downfield as they did in the first quarter. Reese hands it off to Jordy. Jordy able to keep his footing and push through.
Wow.
Second, third attempt. Another broken tackle. And the pile falls forward as he gets near the 16-yard line.
There's
first down.
Six Warriors on him to bring him down. Six. Incredible play. Just a ball handoff right up the middle. Jordan just out of pure strength and will able to come up with another Owls first down. So
yeah.
About an 11-yard gain for Jordan on that play.
And those six defenders that got to him were after he already broke two tackles. Here's Reese again. First and 10, 16-yard line. Takes the snap. Surveys. Looks to the left.
Touchdown.
Brands, touchdown. A beautiful strike from the 16 as Reese finds Franz wide open.
Just a picture-perfect throw and catch for the Owls. Talon dropped back, seeing that Jake had two steps on his defender, delivered a perfect pass. Jake able to come down and bring it into the end zone. So we're looking at 26-7 in favor of the Owls right now, 10:22 left to go.
Oh, this might be a new formula here for the Owls is – that one wasn't necessarily in the middle of the field like the first quarter touchdown was, but it was, you know, nearer to the hash mark. Here's the extra point. It's blocked. And that'll be no good. So 26-7 is the score that it brings up. We'll talk a little bit more about that touchdown immediately after the break. 10 minutes, 22 seconds. Just barely more than a minute and a half off the clock here in the third quarter. 26-7, Bradford leads. Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Navigating the housing market can be a challenge. Whether you're buying or selling a home, talk to Zimmerman Realty, a team of real estate experts in our area. Zimmerman Realty can introduce you to the most up-to-date listings in Bradford, Smethport, and Eldred. They can even show you properties that are listed with other real estate agencies. If you're looking to sell, Zimmerman Realty offers a free market analysis to help you determine the value of your home. Visit their website and sign up today at ZimmermanRealtyLLC.com.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back again to Parkway Field. The Owls just scored again a 16-yard catch for Jake Franz from Talon Reese. Extra point was blocked 26-7 with 10:22 left in the third quarter. Franz with the ensuing kickoff. A boot that's going to get caught at the 1-yard line. My word. 15-yard, has to change field and can't get there. Shoestring tackle will bring him down at the 15.
Yeah, Eric Himes able to get in there, evade his blocker, and just grab hold of the ankle of the runner there, and looks like it's going to bring him down about the 15-yard line. So heck of a play there by Eric Himes.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he had him at this. Yeah, they're about this. No, they got him lined up. Yeah, 16-yard line. And the Owls that I was mentioning, you know, found Franz again. We've seen a lot of him on just go routes, slants, and stuff on the outside near the sideline of the field. But this is the second time now we've seen him near to the middle, the hash mark. And if he's able to make things happen over there, wrapped up in the backfield for a huge loss.
Yeah, that was
Jordan
Thompson
came
in from the end position, able to wrap him up and bring him down at the, looks like about the 2-yard line. So
yeah.
Big loss, big play defensively for the Owls.
I mean, went from the 16 all the way to the 4. Looks like they got him marked. Yeah, wow. Loss of 12 yards to bring up 2nd and 22. That's huge. And Jordy Thompson wreaking havoc back there in the backfield.
Yeah, I was just going to mention right before the snap there, it looks like the Owls switched up their line a little bit. They got Jake Abers playing defensive end on this set.
There's the snap out of the shotgun. Rolling out to the right side. And incomplete.
Again, there was another big no call, I believe, on that play. I mean,
might have been a couple, depending on who you're hearing.
Well, Jake Abers had a step on his defender, and the defender just flat out tackled him.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Grabbed hold
oh, yeah.
of him and brought him down. I'm not sure how that's not a holding call.
Yeah,
but either way,
there.
Gonna bring up a 3rd and 22 for the Owls as that pass just fell incomplete harmlessly.
And I believe some of our Bradford coaching staff believe that that snap came after the play clock had reached 0 as well. I actually didn't see. I was blocked.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to that either. I was looking more at the defensive set that the Owls have here.
9:20 to go. 3rd and 22 from the 4. Trying to get a quick pass out. That's incomplete as well. So it's 4th and 22 from the 4-yard line for Monetaw.
Yeah, that was an exceptional play by Jake Frantz on defense there. Just a quick out and up, and the receiver stopped, turned around, and Jake was able to jump over top of him without touching him and bat that ball down to bring up a 4th and 22 from the 4-yard line for Monetaw.
Yeah, with that play wouldn't have got him any first down or anything like that. It wouldn't have kept this from being a punt as it was in pretty heavy traffic. But it does give him a lot of breathing room as, you know, the punter right now is lined up at the back of the end zone without much room. So nice job to Jake to break that up, keep the pressure on here with this punt. And, yep, it's going to sail to the 30, take a bounce. Takes a pretty good Monetaw bounce, but still is going to come out of bounds near the 30 or the 43-yard line.
Yeah, so the Owls, again, going to be starting with great field position inside on Monetaw territory. So so far tonight, all the Owls' possessions, for the most part, they haven't been pinned deep yet, and they've had good field position to start.
Yeah, if there's a guy able to get to that ball, not a lot of hang time, but if there's a guy able to get that ball starting at the 35, still able to get it with good field position at the 43. But nice job, again, Jake, to break up that pass, keeps the pressure on. The punt doesn't get very far, and they start with great field position here. Reese with trips to the right, Franz all alone on the left, Jordy Thompson in the backfield. Reese making calls at the line. Going to take the snap. Blitz is coming. Flips it over to Franz. He's got the catch.
Oh.
And a move put on at the 30. The 20. Got one
Gone.
Man to beat inside. 10.
Yes.
5. Touchdown. Jake Franz with a 43-yard TD.
Jake Franz having a huge game. Another touchdown for Jake. And just another quick basic Owls formation. Pitch and catch. Jake able to show off his speed and agility for a 43-yard touchdown for the Owls.
That was absolutely unbelievable. The way he put that. He put his man defender in a quick move, just a little shake and bake to get out in front of him. And then he had to beat the free safety coming to meet him near the 20-yard line and just cut right inside and was a foot race from there. And Franz was able to get it in. Here is the kick. Point after is good.
Yeah, that was...
Paige Smith.
Yes, Paige coming out. So she's been pretty successful. She's hitting better 50% of her PATs this year, so impressive on her part.
Makes it 33-7. The Owls have turned it on here to start the second half. Still 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Just like your Bradford Owls, Thacker Development has been your residential construction home team for over 20 years. Scoring touchdowns and winning is easy when you use Thacker Development to tackle all your new construction and home improvement projects. Turn over your wishes to them and let their team's dedication and experience make your dream a reality. Thacker Development's schedule is in the red zone, so call now and score your spot. Kick off your next project by calling Thacker Development now at 814-558-2447. Go Owls!
WESB Sports.
Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports. Homecoming night, 33-7 with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Owls have scored twice in the last 3 minutes of game time. Here's the ensuing kickoff. Monatal right at the goal line. Another booming kick from Franz. Returned to the 20, 25, and bunched up. Piles moving in favor of Monatal to near the 23-24-yard line.
Yeah, first contact for the Owls there was made by freshman Tommy Langdon and then helped by a host of other Owls to bring him down, which was going to start Monatal. First and 10, looks like about the 28-yard line.
You know, it's been a season of, we haven't seen that in a while here for the Owls as they got their first win streak, back-to-back win, stuff like that. We're at 33-7. It'd be a 26-point lead. That means they're now 9 points away. Two touchdowns or a TD and a field goal if they got it in them from putting their opponent in the mercy rule.
Yeah, that's something that hasn't been done. I mean, we did go up earlier this year, I believe, against Otto, was it?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yep. But Otto ended up scoring just enough to keep it out. Monatal's in trouble again somehow. Is able to get that get away from his defender.
Yeah, initially chased down in the backfield by Jordan Thompson, and then Ian DeGoyer able to put a pretty good pop in on him. But that pass, he was able to get the pass off as it fell just incomplete.
Almost went for an interception, but he ran back. If he would have gotten nailed for the sack, it would have been like an 18-yard loss.
Yeah, but another big defensive play for the Owls.
And then just trying to get rid of the ball to avoid that sack, almost threw it into the hands of a Bradford defender. Luckily, it comes up to a second and 10, though, just an incomplete pass on the play. Monatal trying to make something happen here with 8:40 to go. Don't want to get too far ahead of myself talking mercy rules.
Sure.
Beecham out of the shotgun, looking to his right side. Got a man there. It's incomplete again.
And again, the Owls busted through there. Eric Himes and Liam Haven able to break through the line and pressure the quarterback again to maybe get rid of that ball a little bit quicker than he wanted to. So that falls harmlessly incomplete as well.
That's been a lot of the incompletions here in the second half and even a little bit in the second quarter. It's been the Owls defense putting pressure on Beecham because they weren't necessarily they were open receivers for
sure.
The most part. I think it's affecting his accuracy, getting a hand in his face, pressuring him. Here's Beecham again. Now he's rolling
pressure
out to his
game.
Right. Yeah, he's got to escape. This time I think he's got to keep it. He's going to get brought down. Maybe nothing doing. No gain.
Yeah, it looked like Adam Ward and Matt Perry both hit him at the same time in the backfield there, so looks like he just barely made it to the line of scrimmage. And
yeah, a couple guys chased him out of the pocket, and then he was met at the sideline by a couple more.
Yeah, I see a lot of whistles, some officials huddling, but I don't see any flags on the field here.
No laundry yet. 8:21 left in the third quarter. We're still less than 4 minutes off the third quarter here, which is wild. 33-7.
Monatal is backing off there.
Yeah, it's a. I didn't even see where the flag was or came from, but it was a hold on Monatal.
I believe
that they waved off to bring up a fourth down.
Yeah, I believe it's either a hold or a block in the back against Monatal. But either way, Bradford waves it down, as you said, and that's going to bring up 4th and 10 from the 28 for Monatal. 8:21 left to go in the third quarter here at Parkway Field.
Yeah, with the hold, would have brought up a 3rd and, 3rd and 20, 25. Instead, they get the 4th down, and we'll just punt it away as Bradford declines. It's going to get dropped at about the 48. Nope, that was touched at the 48. Yeah, I was going to say that ball tried to bounce over the midfield line, but that was touched before it did. So Bradford will take over on Monatal. Monatal's 48-yard line, and the Warriors, again, fail to get it out of their own territory.
Yeah, and that's the, fifth time tonight that Bradford has started a drive in Manitow territory. So with a stat like that, the good things are going to happen.
This is Bradford's third possession of the third quarter. We're at 8 minutes and 11 seconds left of the quarter. Here's Reese back to split backs. Twins to his left. And it's going to be a handoff to Jordy. Jordy keeps on his feet and just pushes through the middle near the right hash mark and is going to turn it into about a 7 or 8 yard gain.
And again, it took three Warrior defenders just to bring down Jordan. So just impressive to watch. And so they're going to, Russ going to call it a 7 yard gain. So that's going to bring up a second and three for the Owls.
What a, I mean, still a little early to lock anything up, but what a bounce back week for the Owls either way. After coming off that Clarion game here homecoming night, Reese, another handoff to Jordy. He's got room across the 35.
Wow.
And still on his feet at the 25, getting to the sideline near the 20-yard line. Thought he went down near the 30, and then the pile breaks up, and he's still running.
It's just incredible to watch him. Not only does he have speed and power, but he's really showing off his agility tonight in just a couple of big games. He's nearing the 100-yard mark for the first time this season for the Owls.
Well, the... Jordy's only issue is that Franz has taken all the spotlight.
Right?
But they're both having a heck of a game along with Talon Reese. Here's the snap. Looking to his left, rolling out to his left. Got some room, got some time. Now he's going to step up, split the defenders,
wow,
and keep it himself across the 20.
Wow.
Going the other way, runs into his own blocker and is going to come down, I think, with a first down near the 10-yard line.
Yeah, that was a Talon showing off his speed and agility there as he was being chased down by some Manitow Warriors. Bounced outside, bounced back inside, took off up the middle before being brought down at the 10.
Yeah, he went back inside, and it looked like he might have had a lane there to make a run at the goal line, but ended up running into one of his own teammates there and coming down after the first down. So it's a first and 10 from the 11. So just enough room for one more first down if they need it. Reese with split backs and Twins to the right. Franz is the lone man to the left. Third quarter contestant for Toji's touchdown sweepstakes here. Jordy Thompson with a short gain is Rick Wallen, I think. Rick Wallen is your third quarter contestant for Toji's touchdown sweepstakes. But we've already had two Bradford touchdowns, just looking for a third, apparently.
Sure. Yeah, Jordy took the ball up the middle there. He tried to right up directly over the middle. He tried to make a hop step to the inside, but I think he was actually taken down more by his lineman than he was a Manitow player.
Yeah, gain of two brings up second and eight from the 9. Reese. Play action. Airs one. Corner of the end zone. Goes up.
He's got
and
it.
And touchdown.
That looks like Matthew Perry, I believe. What is that kid doing out there? This Manitow team's getting a bit touchy, I believe.
You were right about the Perry call, by the way.
Yeah, Matt Perry and goes up and makes an exceptional catch in the far deep corner of the end zone. And then as he was on the ground, a Manitow player was over top of him. Not real clear what was going on over there. However, the good news is that brings the Owls up 39-7 here with 5:33 to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, we've got the extra point here by Paige Smith, and that is good.
So Paige, two in a row, she's knocked down.
Yeah, tacks it on and makes it a 40-7 game. So the 33-point lead, 2 points away here from Bradford putting an opponent in mercy rule with 5:33 left in the third. 40-7 on homecoming night. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Helping bring you this football broadcast is a special group of sponsors, the WESB Winner's Circle. Participants include these local area businesses: WRK's and Sons, makers of quality American-made knives since 1889, Dexter's Service and Collision on West Washington Street in Bradford, and In Tandem in Olean, enhancing the lives of people with disabilities through supports and services. Winner's Circle sponsors putting you in the game all season long, right here on your season ticket, WESB Sports in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Parkway Field for homecoming night. 40-7 following the 9-yard TD that Reese just threw to Matthew Perry as Perry gets his first TD of the game. First TD of the season, can confirm. It is, yeah, first TD of the season for Perry, at least as a wide receiver. And a really nice catch there as Reese just kind of lobbed one to the back of the end zone. And Perry went up, had to turn to get it. Here's the ensuing kickoff, brought down at the 10. And found an open seam. Franz is the only one to beat. Cut back inside. Franz is able to wrap him up and save the touchdown. But the Manitow offense will start at the 37-yard line.
Yeah, for sure. A game-saving tackle by Franz there. He was able to hold him up, and then Logan Kohler came in with a big hit to clean house there, but not before Manitow with a big kickoff return. This is going to be by far their best starting field position so far this game.
Yeah, I believe it's the first time they're starting in Bradford territory with Franz. The only thing keeping him out of the end zone with that TD-saving tackle.
Yeah, so Manitow is going to start first and 10 from the Owls 36, working left to right. And ball's going to start out on the far hash mark there. So let's see if the Owls defense can stay as tough as they have been so far.
Beach him with double twins. And it's going to be a handoff right up the gut. It's going to go for a nice little gain there, maybe 6 yards.
Yeah, just
run.
Real simple play right up the gut. He was able to hit the hole there before being brought down by Bradford's Eric Himes there with a nice open field tackle.
And we're just now getting to the 5-minute mark of the third quarter. Wow.
Yeah, Bradford, they've had 13 offensive plays so far in this half. And of those 13 plays, 3 touchdowns. So I'll take that.
That's
all
a good
day.
Ratio.
Yeah, absolutely.
3 touchdowns for every 13 plays. Here's another run on second and short. And approaching that first down marker, might have it. And it does. Yeah, moves the chains.
Yeah, he was able to move the chains before. I believe that is Carter Cawley was able to bring him down for his first tackle of the night.
First and 10. At the 26-yard line is Beecham and the Warriors. Monotron trying to keep out of that mercy rule. Beecham's got to take off.
Oof.
And he's going to get a hit put on him by Gleason, and there's a flag as he's wrapped up and brought down near the 20.
Yeah, it looked like Whitmore had him wrapped up and was bringing him down when Gleason came in to help out with the tackle there. So I'm not sure what the flag's going to be on because it looked like Gleason completely missed him. I don't think
Gleason made
contact with him.
I'm not sure. If Gleason hit him, they could get him for some sort of targeting or whatever the high school version of that is.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Personal foul targeting against
Bradford. Yep, it is targeting.
I don't understand.
That is a 15-yard penalty from
I couldn't see whether he hit him or not, but it is the targeting is a big one. It's going to be a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah. Yeah, and talking, I have a friend of mine. He's a PIAA ref, and he explained to me a couple different rules, and targeting is one they were really focusing on this year at
sure.
all the meetings.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like that's been a big thing in college this year as well. First and goal now from the 10. Brought down with no gain, so a nice stand there so far as Evan Whitmore gets in.
Yeah, it looked like Evan Whitmore and Ian DeGoy are able to get in there and bring him down just behind the line of scrimmage. That's Whitmore's third tackle for a loss tonight so far.
And he sat out a set with a...
Right.
You know, getting his ankle taped up.
And again, he's another one of these standout Owl players that's an underclassman. We get another year with Evan.
Second and goal from the 9. And Manitow. Beecham going to throw one up top. Adam Ward draws the pass interference.
Wow.
That
looked like a pretty clean play in there. I mean, there were some no calls on the Owls end, but apparently there's...
I mean, you just got to keep it, you know, you got to call them both ways. If you're going to... It's not like, call the the pass interference on the other side on Jake Franz.
Yeah.
Or for Jake Franz, rather, then you don't call this. If you're going to call this, then you have to call that.
Yeah, this is like what I say when I coach baseball. If you're going to be an umpire behind the plate, if you're going to be terrible, be terrible. But be terrible for both teams.
Yeah.
This is exceptional here.
So it's going to bring up a second and goal. Looks like they're at about the 4-yard line. And wow, a run play that goes nowhere, backwards even.
Yeah, I believe that was Liam Havenden on the first big hit there, and then cleaned up by Whitmore and a couple other Owls. So another tackle for loss there.
Yeah, that was a nice one. If the Owls can come away with this, even if they hold them, I don't know if we've seen Manitow with a kicker yet. If they can hold this one up, well, they'd go for it on fourth anyways. It doesn't matter.
That was Whitmore's 10th tackle so far tonight, 4 of which have been for loss. So, impressive night for him.
Beecham out of the shotgun, trips to the left, and he's going to roll out that way as well. Looking, completed, wrapped up, reaching forward, and just shy.
Yeah, looked like Jake Franz initially wrapped him up, and Evan Whitmore in there to help clean up, so... Again, Whitmore showing his force out there, but that's going to bring up a 4th and 1 from about the half-yard line.
I'm not even sure if that's one. Well, yeah. Yeah, it's 4th and inches here as they just got enough to keep him out of the end zone. Going to start this one out of the shotgun as well, and that's very clearly offsides. Not that it matters.
Yeah, let's see what they're going to call. That could be a foul start as well. Looks like a couple players getting warned out there.
Yep. Bug. Yeah, on the Owl. So half the distance from the half-yard line ain't going to do much.
No. Move the ball a couple inches here.
And the Owls will try again to stand up here. 4th and inches. Trying to get the student section into it. Get that black hole going. And maybe if the crowd can get loud here, you keep Monotov from being able to hear anything at the line. Moving forward, and that is going to be, I think, a touchdown.
That should not... That is a direct foul. In Pennsylvania football, you are not allowed to aid the runner. You can aid a pile, not the runner. That looked the opposite to me. I'm going to quit being so critical of the referees tonight. That's just, this gets aggravating after a while. But needless to say.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, that's 14-13. As Monotau will go for the extra point here.
Monotau again with just 10 players on the field as they're rushing another guy out quick.
Yeah, and he's trying to, there he goes. Now he's found somewhere to line up. Here's the snap, and that kick almost blocked by Cauley, but it goes in and is good to make it 40-14, Monotau.
This game is getting awfully chippy here, and I put this 100% on the referees. This has been absolutely ridiculous from the start of this game. And I will not lay off of that fact.
Monotau trails by 26 with 1:44 to go in the third quarter. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Helping bring you this football broadcast is a special group of sponsors, the WESB Winner's Circle. Participants include these local area businesses: WRK's and Sons, makers of quality American-made knives since 1889, Dexter's Service and Collision on West Washington Street in Bradford, and In Tandem in Olean, enhancing the lives of people with disabilities through supports and services. Winner's Circle sponsors putting you in the game all season long, right here on your season ticket, WESB Sports in Bradford.
98 CM Bradford.
WESB Bradford.
B107.5 FM.
This is Bradford Owls High School Football.
Welcome back to Parkway Field. We've got 1:44 to go before the fourth quarter. And it's currently 40-14 in favor of the Owls here on homecoming night. Almost 9 p.m. here. So if you're just joining the broadcast, this is Jimmy Keltz live from Parkway Field alongside Mark Irvin, our sound engineer and producer. Quincy Scott is back at the station. And the Owls are in the midst of a big bounce back from a huge loss at Clarion. At one point, had a 33-point lead over Montauk. That has now been cut to 26 points. Again, 40-14.
Yeah, and the scrum at the end of there resulted in offsetting personal fouls against both Montauk and Bradford. So,
yeah, as you mentioned, started to get a little chippy there on the goal line stand and the fourth and goal tush push, as it's so affectionately called in the NFL now, thanks to the Philadelphia Eagles, or the brotherly shove. Here's a squib kick, and that might go out of bounds.
It does.
Yep. The Owls will again start at the 35-yard line.
And here's another flag over on this side of the field.
Yeah, there's nobody on this side of the field, so that's weird.
That's very odd.
There's nobody there. I think probably just trying to
mark where the ball maybe had gone out.
I think this is the refs trying to... They see that the game is starting to get a little out of control with kids getting chippy, and they're probably just trying to get everyone back reined in.
Just, you know, looking at the world, I just don't understand.
Looking at the scoreboard and kind of what's going on the field, I think this crowd would be a little louder, a little more into it.
Yeah.
They seem to be quiet here for last 6 minutes or so. First and 10. Looks like they've got it at the 35. Yep. After the illegal procedure. And a penalty on Montauk.
Yeah.
That would be the illegal procedure, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, it was a personal foul penalty against Montauk.
Okay.
So I'm not real... Must have been something with the blocking down here on this side that was completely away from the play. But either way, again, the Owls starting out with great field position. They're starting out on the 50-yard line this time.
Yeah, 15 yards from the 35, so it puts them at a first and 10 at the 50. 1:44 to go in the third quarter. We've got free lunch specials from Toji's Substation for all three Toji's Touchdown Sweepstakes contestants so far. That's Kim Bidwell in the first, Shane Ludwig in the second. Quick screen throw completed to Adam Ward, and he's down for a first down. Still going somehow, as none of the defenders touched him, and he got to about the 30.
Yeah, another big play, and again, there's more laundry on the field. So we'll see what this is for this time.
Rick Wellen, our third quarter contestant for Toji's. Yeah, that would be a 20-yard catch there for Ward if it stands up.
Yeah, and considering where the flag's thrown at, I'm going to guess it's probably a holding call.
It seems like it probably won't stand up.
Yeah, right.
We'll see, though, because things are getting to the point where they are. We've still got a whole another quarter to play. So you hope that whatever's going on gets reined in a little bit. Yeah, the Owls are moving back.
Is that a pass interference on the Owls?
I can't imagine it was. That was on that screen play.
That's, wow.
It was?
Yeah, yeah.
Offensive pass interference on a screen play is interesting. I don't know that I've ever seen or heard of that before. It turns into a 20-yard penalty. Or a 15-yard penalty, rather. So back to the 35 for a first and 25. Offensive pass interference on a screen play.
I'm going to take a moment to myself here before I say something I'm going to regret.
Reese out of the shotgun, looks to his right side, going to air one out. Can he make it? Ooh. It was a race to the spot for Adam Ward, and just got overthrown. Couldn't quite get there.
No, and Talon able to show off his arm there. I mean, that was a perfect spiral, and
And just overthrew him just by a touch. Again, as the players are coming back, we're getting mouthy again with each other.
One of the Warriors, whoever was guarding Ward there, had to get pulled off by his teammate as they were coming back to the line of scrimmage. Which, I mean, if you're Ward at that point, you just give him the old, hey, scoreboard, fella.
Yep.
Here's a second and 25 from the 35. Reese dropped back. He's going to air one out again. This one's a strike. Picked off and coming the other way across midfield at the 40, 35, changing field. And looks like he's brought down inside the 30 near the 23.
Yeah, Adam Perry able to finally bring him down, but not until he makes it all the way back to the Owl 28-yard line. So, unfortunately, an interception thrown, and that's the first real bad throw we've seen from Talon. But at the same time, that defender just made a heck of a catch. I mean, he jumped up full speed on the run and was able to bring that down. So
yeah, full-on Jordan catch there at the 35 or so. But, you know, that offensive pass interference on a screenplay doesn't get called. They're first and 10 at the 30.
Yeah, this is, I wonder if...
And they're not taking, you know, 30-yard shots downfield to try to get a first down.
I wonder if they review games for performance reviews for referees in high school football, because this would definitely be a candidate for that.
Take everything else away, an offensive pass interference on a screen makes no sense to me.
No.
Here's Beecham on the run. It's incomplete.
Yeah, it looks like Jordan Thompson was able to get his hand in there and knock that ball down before the receivers get his hands on it. So,
less than a minute to go in the third quarter. And I think, again, things started to fall apart in the first half, and the Owls benefited greatly from halftime. I think just a little bit of a break here as they flip field and go to the fourth might do good for both teams, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Though Monatau's, you know, making some things. They scored a touchdown. They got an interception. They're making some things happen.
Sure.
Warriors here. Maybe a little bit of confusion here. Getting to the formation. Trips on the right side. Beecham out of the shotgun, and he's going to drop back in a lot of trouble and incomplete again.
Yeah, looks like Eric Himes was able to come in unblocked and run down the quarterback and, again, force him to make a throw before he needed to. So
this
Eric
is just
Himes, good
great
play.
Pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. All night. Yeah. All night they've had pressure.
Yep. So
they're not allowing them to get comfortable whatsoever. And in the few times that he has been, he's made nice passes. So it's good keeping them off balance and uncomfortable and on the run. And
yeah.
So very good job by the Owls defense tonight.
Yeah, Beecham. Oh, there's another flag.
A flag before they're even on the line of scrimmage here.
That's a substitution.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I did see him come off. So illegal substitution we had to talk about a little bit in Dubois.
Yes, it was Dubois. Yep.
As we had questions about whether or not you could sub in a player after the huddle.
Right.
The official rule for PIAA is you can do that if they are inside the numbers.
Yes. And
Beecham looking
wide open.
He's got a man down there.
Wow.
It's bobbled and incomplete. My word. Almost had it, hauled it in, but somehow got popped back up. Then it looked like it might get intercepted for a second. Then it looked like it was going back to the original intended target, somehow falls incomplete.
That receiver had 5 yards on Jake France, and he was able to make up that 5 yards and almost come up with the interception before it was bobbled a little bit there. But, again, it just falls harmlessly down. We'll bring up a 4th and 15 for Monatau Warriors from the Owls, 33.
Yeah, 4th and 15, as you said, 40 seconds ago. This might be one of the longest third quarters we've seen. Beecham rolling out. He's got to take a shot. He's got another man there, and that one's caught as he falls to the ground, and it's a touchdown for Monatau, a 33-yard strike.
Just a great play on his behalf. Launched it up, perfect pass. He was able to come up with it and fall flat in the end zone. So 31 and a half seconds left to go in the third quarter here at Parkway Field, and it's now 40-20 in favor of the Owls.
Didn't see the receiver.
I believe it was six.
Oh, was it? Okay, that'd be Ashton Grossman if that's the case. Here is the point after the snap, the place, the kick. And it is good, and we are all over the field again.
Again.
Flags. Either way, the kick is good, and anything afterwards will be on the kickoff. So we'll go to a break with 31 seconds to go in the third. It's 40-21, Bradford leads. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Helping bring you this football broadcast is a special group of sponsors, the WESB Winner's Circle. Participants include these local area businesses: WRK's and Sons, makers of quality American-made knives since 1889, Dexter's Service and Collision on West Washington Street in Bradford, and In Tandem in Olean, enhancing the lives of people with disabilities through supports and services. Winner's Circle sponsors putting you in the game all season long, right here on your season ticket, WESB Sports in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back to Parkway Field. We're just getting the call here from the flags on the point after. The kick is going to remain good.
Yes, but that's another personal foul call on the Montauk team. I didn't catch against who, but I have my suspicions on who it is. And it looks like the refs are now conferring with the Montauk coach there.
Yeah, I mean, at some point... At some point, you got to get a guy off the field,
yeah,
or something. Right now, we've got 31.5 seconds to go. The Owls are about to receive kickoff following a 33-yard touchdown. Nice throw from Beecham.
Yeah, absolutely, perfect throw.
Had a man open in the end zone and just lays it right in there with a nice touch. It's 40-21. The ensuing kickoff is going to be pushed back to the 25-yard line after the personal foul.
So
we've got Owls lined up at the 35 in Montauk territory on this return.
Yeah,
which is kind of a weird sight.
Yeah, and the last two kickoffs they've had have gone out of bounds. So,
right,
unsure of what we're going to see here out of the Montauk kick team.
The return man, the deep man, is at the 27-yard line.
Oh, trying
outside
to outside. That did not go 10 yards.
They have it, but it's not 10 yards.
That did not go 10 yards before it was touched by a Montauk player. That was touched at 6 yards after by a Montauk player. There's no way.
They missed it.
My word.
They missed it. Montauk has possession.
This is the most atrociously refereed game I have ever witnessed. By far the worst.
They missed it.
Wow.
Montauk got the onside.
This is shameful at this point. Absolutely shameful. I don't even know what to say anymore, Jimmy.
I don't know. It's still 40-21. It's a 19-point game, so they are chiseling away here with a whole quarter yet to play. It's first and 10 from the 36. Montauk takes a low snap, handles it. Big pressure. And out of bounds and complete.
No flag on that for getting rid of the ball.
Kind of the least of their problems is intentional grounding not getting called after what we have seen. Yeah, there's one.
Wow.
Intentional grounding on Montauk.
There we go. It's going to bring up what a second down. Was it a loss of downs? Is there?
I believe it's a. It looks like a loss of down and a penalty of.
Yeah, and it looked like it was Carter Cawley in
10
there.
10 yards.
That was really putting the pressure on.
Oh, 5 yard from the spot.
Oh, wow. So that's going to drive it all the way down inside their own 20 there. So
yeah, they're gonna have second and 30.
Second 30 from their own 19 for Montauk.
Yikes. Here's the snap. Beecham looking. The pressure again. Yeah, it's getting real chippy.
Yeah.
That play doesn't go for much.
No, that pass just. Yeah,
I believe that fall incomplete.
Yeah, it did fall incomplete. Just a little extracurricular activity out there against a couple of the Owls. And seems like it's one Monatah player targeting a certain Owl player out there. And
we got to get to the benches here. 18.4 seconds left in the quarter. It's getting pretty wild. Now the crowd's starting to get into it here. Third and 30. Beecham out of the shotgun. Dropping back. He's in trouble. Somehow evades the sack. And now he's going to let one fly.
Wow. A Monatah player somehow was able to come up with that.
Holy smokes. That was what looked like it could have been an interception for Nick DeGoyer.
Yeah.
And at least was a pretty big hit that he laid on him right at the point of contact. But somehow your Monatah receiver caught it, hung on to it. And it actually was good for 25 yards to bring up a fourth and five.
Yeah, I believe that was Isaiah Thompson for Monatah was able to somehow come up with that play. An exceptional catch on his behalf.
So that's the end of the third quarter. 12 minutes on the clock, the final frame. It's a 19-point game, and like it or not, Monatah is in this one following that wild third quarter. It's 40-21, Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
At Allegheny Vein and Vascular, the office of Dr. Bob Tejera, you receive nationally recognized, innovative, and personalized care in Bradford, Pennsylvania, without the hassle of driving to a major city. Experience for yourself the convenience of office visits, diagnostic ultrasounds, and procedures in the comfort of our state-of-the-art facility, all under one roof. For over 16 years, Dr. Tejera has specialized in the treatment of complex artery and vein disease. At Allegheny Vein and Vascular, patients know they aren't just a number in a computer. They're names and faces of real people we work together with to achieve a better quality of life. For more information or to schedule your appointment, call 368-8490. That's 368-8490. Self-referrals are welcome and most insurances are accepted. Allegheny Vein and Vascular is located at 900 Chestnut Street in Bradford.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back. Big play there, fourth down, and almost had Beecham way in the backfield, but he somehow comes all the way out and around from it and completes a big pass for a first down.
Yeah, it looked like
Brock Beecham, is that? To his older brother, Brock, the receiver.
Yeah, yeah. And A.J. Gleason able to bring him down, but not for the big gain, first down there.
First and 10 from the 35, and no gain there.
Yeah, it looked like first contact was made by Matthew Perry and cleaned up by Evan Whitmore. So Evan having almost a career game here tonight. Ooh, that was Giordano in there on the tackle, excuse me.
Andrew Giordano, who, by the way, leads the team in sacks, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, and he's also our backup QB.
That's right. Second and 9 after the gain of 1. Low snap, handled, screen play, wrapped up, brought down.
Yeah, Eric Hines able to sniff that out quick and bring down that screen play for a loss. Eric chipping in. That's his fourth tackle tonight and his second one for a loss. So
that brings up a third and 14. So that's actually a loss of 5 yards, which is big here with the kind of the momentum that Monatah is building after the pass interference, which led to a Monatah touchdown, which led to an onside kick.
Illegal onside kick.
And a pretty obviously illegal one at that. But, you know, here's the snap. Meacham's in big trouble.
Yes.
Beecham wrapped up for a huge loss. He started darting into the other direction.
And guess who that was? That was our friend Evan Whitmore. That's his 12th tackle tonight, his fifth one for a tackle for loss. So that's going to bring up a huge fourth and 40 for Monatah.
That was a wild loss. 26-yard loss on that.
Huge play.
And Eric Himes, credit to Eric Himes, yes. He was out there chasing him down as well.
Yeah, Eric and Evan both having career nights out here tonight. So
looks like that's going to be a timeout here. So we'll take a tax-in timeout as well. There's 9:38 to go. Montetal's looking at a 4th and 40 at their own 42. It is 40-21 with 9.5 minutes left on homecoming night. Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Owned locally, respected worldwide, that's the Allegheny Bradford family of companies in Lewis Run. They're a leading manufacturer, supplier, and service provider of quality stainless steel products used the world over. From small food processors to giant pharmaceutical companies, Allegheny Bradford, Allegheny Surface Technology, and ABC Actini. Owned locally, respected worldwide. To see all they do and explore employment opportunities, visit them online at AlleghenyBradford.com.
WESB Sports.
Welcome back here to Parkway Field as Montetal tries to mount a rally in the fourth quarter. Did a nice job making that rally happen in the third. Now I'm trying to keep it going. 40-21, Bradford leads. 9 minutes, 38 seconds left. But Montetal may or may not have had a little bit of help in that rally, in our humble opinions. Here's the snap. Meacham, 4th and 40. Gets wrapped up again and brought down.
Andrew Giordano with the big play. Knocked him down for a loss in the backfield. The ball did come out, but I believe that was caused by
doesn't matter. It's
ground,
fourth down.
So. Yeah,
it's a turnover
down.
On down either way. So Giordano, who we just mentioned, leads the team in sacks, gets another one there. And a big one on fourth down as the Owls will take over 1st and 10 on the Montetal 33.
So, again, starting in Montetal territory tonight for the Owls. So,
I think if they pick things up here.
Yeah, they put one in the end zone here. They're going to make it real difficult for any sort of rally.
Here's Reese out of the shotgun. He's got Jordy Thompson in the backfield and Tripps bunched on the right side. Empty on the left. Pitch to the left. Thompson cuts inside, dragging his defenders, and we've got flags all over the place.
This is unbelievable.
Almost definitely a hold, which, I mean, at this point, they're, like, making it too obvious, you know?
Yeah.
At what point you worried about making it too obvious?
The Montetal player flat-out tackled one of our Bradford guys. I couldn't quite see who it was at the 10-yard line, not only 20 yards from the play, but on the complete opposite side of the field. I don't get it. But needless to say, a 7-yard run by Jordan Thompson, if it holds up, and again, weaving his way in and out. And
nothing? He waves it off. Go pick up your flag then, buddy. Oh, there it is.
Personal foul against Montetal.
And on
chop
Bradford.
Block, yep.
So offsetting penalties, replay, first down. So it was hands to the face and a chop block?
Yep, so it looks like they're just going to replay
first and
10. First and 10 from the 33. So.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Needless to say, Talon comes in with the play call from the sideline, and
yep, he's
here
gonna
we go.
Have split backs and twins to his left. Reese on the right hash mark. Oh, he was handing it off to Thompson, and Thompson just hit the deck.
Yeah, I think he actually tripped over.
A full-on trip?
Yeah,
he's
Tyson's
already back
foot,
up.
So.
I was actually really worried that there was something wrong there because he went down so abruptly.
Right.
But looks like it was just a trip. He's already back up and good. It is going to go for a loss.
Yeah,
and
just
break
a 2-yard
there.
Loss. So.
Yeah, second and 13 from the 36. Trying to get to the 23-yard line are the Owls with 8.5 minutes to go.
Yeah, clock keeps ticking. So.
Here is Reese back to work. and takes the snap, pitches to Jordy. Jordy cuts it inside, finds a gap. He's across the 25 and still up for a first down.
Yeah, Jordan just takes a pitch off to the left-hand side towards the visitor sideline there, able to weave around in and out of a couple defenders before getting up for about 12 yards and taking two Montauk players to bring them down. So
nice job there by the lineman, offensive lineman, as Jordy got that quick pitch out to the left, and just as he was getting the ball secured, a little hole opens up in that B-gap.
Yeah,
and
13-yard
gain. First down. First and 10, and another handoff. This one is going to get wrapped up, nothing doing.
Yeah, that looks like, is that? It is Jordan again, so he was able to push up for another 2-yard gain for Jordan Thompson.
Wow. I don't know how he got those 2 yards.
He's incredible.
Stop being surprised at this point, but.
Right.
Pile looked like it was back to the line of scrimmage. Somehow Jordy's in front of it. Going to break it, make it second and 8 now at the 20. So Howell's back at the red zone, getting ticking down to the 7-minute mark. So as slow as that third quarter was, this fourth quarter started out considerably faster. Here's a snap, another handoff to Jordy, and trying to fight forward for another little chunk of yardage is Thompson, and he's going to get maybe 3 yards on that one.
Yeah, it looks like he weaved his way in for a 3-yard gain, so that's going to bring up about third and 3, third and 4 for the Owls. So
third and
using
four,
Jordan,
yeah,
just to run the clock here, which I'm absolutely okay with as it ticks down to just above 6.5 minutes.
4-yard gain, make it third and 4. Yeah, and the Owls let this thing run. You built up the lead, might as well use that to your advantage if that's the game that it's going to turn into. There's a offsides, we think, from Montauk.
Yeah, it looked like they were getting ready to send the house in a blitz, and they just jumped way too soon. Matter of fact, is what it is, offsides.
Yep, so that is going to bring up a first down for Bradford. They were on a 3rd and 4, 5-yard penalty.
And that results in now first down. Yep, so it's going to be first and 10 from the 11-yard line for the Owls.
Getting in there pretty close again. Boy, I think about that first half that Jake Franz had.
Yeah.
Well, the first half and the first half of the third quarter that Jake Franz had.
Yeah, just exceptional.
And then how things just completely turned on its head. Remember, they scored 3 touchdowns in those first 13 plays.
Yep.
Here's another handoff, met at the line and pushed backwards.
Yeah, it looked like Carter Cawley got the handoff there, but it looks like he just made it back to the line of scrimmage.
Yep, refused to go down, but couldn't push forward. And forward progress will get him right back to the line. So 2nd and 10 from the 11. Ticking down to about 5.5 minutes to go. Remember, still a 19-point lead for Bradford if they're held out of the end zone here.
Talon coming in with the play call.
Fourth quarter contestant, Toji's touchdown sweepstakes, Tracy Cromley. Tracy Cromley. Snap, pitch to Jordy. Jordy tries to cut back inside, sheds a tackle, and can't
quite break free, but he doesn't lose anything. So
no, back to the line of scrimmage. He had to shed a tackle in the backfield, and by the time he did, there was already pressure in front of him. So not able to turn it into a significant gain. But 3rd and 10 from the 11, and another full play clock gets to tick away here as we approach the 4.5-minute mark.
Yeah, they always looking to not only take time off, but I'm sure they want to punch one more in just for good measure here.
I believe so, yeah, especially as chippy as things got for a little bit. I'd like to think that they would punch back. Boy, and that would have been the one there as this play's whistled dead, but just as the whistle was hitting, it was Reese finding Eric Himes right in the middle of the field, who could have turned and walked in.
Yeah, there was nobody even near him on that play there, so missed opportunity there for Bradford, but They're going to replay third down, so it'll be third and 15 now from the 16-yard line for the Owls.
Yeah, a five-yard penalty on the Owls. Still room for a first down if they can get to the one-yard line. Reese takes the snap, looking to his right, rolling out to his right. Now going to step up, finds a block. He's inside the five and pushed out. So it's going to bring up a fourth and four. See where they got him. Maybe he didn't make it quite to the five, to the seven. So fourth and six from the seven.
You're still Talon able to get some positive yards out of what could have been easily a negative play there. So it's like he got about, 4 yards on that play?
They were 15 yards back, so I think it was a 9-yard gain.
That's going to bring up a fourth and six from the 7-yard line.
Reese, double twins, takes the snap, looking to the right, and that one's blocked. It's batted down right as he throws. Good pressure from Monoton, fourth down.
Yeah, I think he was playing the cornerback position, number four for Monoton there. He was able to come in unblocked and just get right in Talon's face as he was about to throw that ball and bat it down harmlessly, so... That's going to bring up first down and 10 for Monoton deep in their own territory on the 7-yard line.
Yeah, that was Adam Grossman for Monoton on that batted pass on fourth and six. So big time play there for Grossman, and I believe he has that receiving TD earlier in the game when Beecham had to just air it out the 33-yarder. So this will turn over on downs. And Monoton takes over first and 10 from their own 7. 3 minutes, 52 seconds to play. There's a flag.
Yeah, that's where that's come. Looks like it's going to be a foul start against Monoton there. So that's going to push him back to about the 2-yard line.
Yeah, risky business there for Monoton. First and 15 from the 2 will be the result of an offside. 3 minutes, 51 seconds to play. 19 points to make up. And 98 yards to go to find the end zone here.
Yeah. And as you said, 3:51 to go. So the clock's definitely ticking down to the closure of this game. So
96 yards to go, my mistake. From the 4. First and 15 from the 4. Meacham in trouble, getting chased around in the end zone. Finds a man right near that first down marker and is able to somehow complete the pass to him. Nice job there from Meacham.
Yeah, and you'll never guess who was in on that tackle, Jimmy. Mr. Whitmore again. I have that as his 14th tackle tonight, so... Those are numbers that we used to see AJ put up last year. Remember those 15, 16-yard tackle games he'd have?
Uh-oh. Yeah, there's... All right, Monoton snapped the ball when there was, 14 Bradford players on the field.
Wow.
Took a shot on the free play.
Yeah, why not?
Credit to the awareness there from the Monoton players and coaches. But it ends up incomplete. Bradford trying to change out some personnel, and Monoton, smartly got to the line, got the ball snapped.
Yeah, if you
remember.
They
were running routes through the guys trying to get to the sideline.
Yeah, there was a few times in the first half that I mentioned to you that Monoton was doing a quick snap, which was unsettling the Bradford line there, and they were able to get some offside calls against them.
So this one. We'll bring it up 5 yards. First and 15, 3.5 minutes to go. As Montau's really trying to make this a game.
They are, and I'm not sure if you're watching, but Coach Puglio is not happy, rightfully so, down here on the sideline.
Well, he's got plenty to be angry at, and I don't think it's the player's fault, though they might be hearing about it a little bit. Meacham scrambling for his life. He's going to air one out. Got a man down there.
Ooh, dropped it. He beat both defenders there, Ward and A.J. Gleason on the coverage, and Montauk's player just flat out dropped that ball. So big break for the Owls there.
Yeah, I think that was that might have been a little bit of the yips or something there, because he had it, dropped it, just looking forward a little bit. I don't know if that was a flicker or what, but that was their starting quarterback out there.
Trying to receive the pass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, Montauk lines up. It's second down, five to go from the 23-yard line, working right to left here, dead center middle of the field. So,
no, they do have Sankey in at QB. He's taking snaps right now, so oof. I don't know what that's all about. Sankey just ran into a man trying to get rid of it. It's caught somehow. What a play by Sankey. Holy smokes, that's caught by Cole Scott, and it's going to be good for a first down.
Yeah, an excellent play on Montauk's behalf, lining up quick here to try to get a play in, and brought down by A.J. Gleason.
So they brought Sankey in at QB to replace Trent Beecham, and Sankey's just out here running wild. He's the guy who escaped the back of the end zone there.
Man,
had a nice throw to Beecham, who dropped it on what would have been a TD, and then finds Cole Scott. Now this one out of bounds on a rollout.
Yeah, Bradford again be able to bring pressure like they have been all night, and then Matthew Perry hot on his heels to force him out of bounds after a gain of just one. So that brings up a second and nine for the Warriors from the 38.
You know, credit to Montauk, went down by 33 points, made this a game.
Yeah.
You say what you want about the rest, but Montauk is the team down there on the field making things happen. 2:46 to go, and they're still fighting.
Absolutely. Fumble.
Yeah. Botched the handoff, fumbled. Sankey picked it up, and he got absolutely plowed right at the line of scrimmage.
And by again,
Evan Whitmore.
Evan Whitmore in on the tackle.
He's brought down by Evan Whitmore.
15th tackle tonight. Sixth for a loss.
Third and nine from the 38.
Clock still ticking down to 2:15 left to go in the game here.
Montauk takes a low snap. Sankey rolling out to his right. Running out of room. He's got to air it out. Another time. Meacham all by himself, but this one floats over his head. That one's not on him.
Yeah, I'm not real sure how Meacham was able to get that wide open.
Very
there was
open.
Nobody around him. So
I mean, it's almost like the Owls went to a full cover two just to protect.
Yeah, even the linebackers were dropped back in protection there, as we've seen Matt Perry and Evan Whitmore drop back and just rushing their front guys, which even again being double-teamed, Andrew Giordano from his defensive end position was able to get in the backfield with some pressure. But either way, pass falls incomplete, brings up fourth and nine for Montauk. 2:03 left to go in the game.
So they've been able to pull off some of these conversions here in the second half. They're going to go for it again here. Fourth and nine. It's Sankey in the backfield. Out of the shotgun. He's going to throw it right to the flat. Not a lot of room, trying to make space and brought down. Going to be a turnover on downs at the 40-yard line in Montauk territory. Less than 2 minutes on the clock. The Owls should be able to wrap it up here.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Evan Whitmore on that tackle, but the Owls will take over. Yeah, it's going to be first and 10 for the Owls from the Montauk 40-yard line with 1:54 left to go in the game. Evan Whitmore just having a monster game tonight, Jimmy.
Nine possessions in the third quarter, three possessions in the fourth.
Yeah, this will be the 12th offensive play we've ran and the 30th overall in just the second half here. So I imagine the Owls are going to keep this ball on the ground, just get this game over with.
Here is Reese with Jordy Thompson in the backfield. Trips to the right side, and it'll be a delayed handoff. Thompson's got room, though, and he's going to run up for a nice gain of at least five, maybe six.
Yeah, that was actually freshman Brody Haviland in on the carry
there.
Oh,
was
it? Bringing up six as he showed his explosiveness.
You're right, 28-26. Gets us every time.
So a 6-yard gain for Brody. So second and four for the Owls from the 34.
We'll see if what Tracy Cromley ends up with here. Still got a minute 20 left in the fourth quarter for Toji's touchdown sweepstakes fourth quarter contestant. If the Owls don't score, you win a free dinner off the Value Pack Meals menu at Toji's Family Restaurant. If the Owls do score, you win a free lunch special from Toji's Substation. Either way, you're a winner. Here's Haviland again, and it's going to break one for a first down and a lot more, almost 10 more.
Yeah, Brody showing his speed and agility and going right up the gut for a big first down for the Owls. Again, Brody, just a freshman. I got to watch him last year down at the middle school level, and he was very similar to this, very, very explosive, very fast, but he's also got a lot of power there. He's not afraid of contact.
That's, you know, the first down moves the chains, but it also puts the Owls in the red zone. So, you know, we'll see if how chippy they want to be. Victory formation here. They'll take the knee. The classy move.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good move on behalf of the Owls here.
Yeah, despite all of the extracurriculars and goings on.
Yep, and it looks like there's about a 3-second difference between the play clock and the game clock in favor of the game clock. So we're able to let this one just run out and be done. Wow. It's going to take me a few minutes to get through all these stats tonight, Jimmy.
I'm
kind of gather my thoughts on this game for our post game here. But nonetheless, the Owls come up with a 40-21 win over visiting Manitow on homecoming night. And a big win for the Owls, especially with some tough games coming up.
I mean, what a that game did not turn out the way we thought it was going to. You know, come 9 minutes to go in the third quarter, we thought the Owls were heading straight for Mercy Rule.
Yeah,
and this game was going to be bang bang over here pretty quick, and that was not the case. Now, the Owls are still able to shut it out, though, and we've officially end of game now. Final score 40-21. Owls win homecoming night. Week 6 gets them back to 500, 3-3 record on the season as they come away with a win over the visiting Manitow Warriors. We're going to take a little bit of a break here, and we'll be back with a quick post-game show. We'll do a scoring recap. We'll have stats for the game. And we'll also name our collision of the game, brought to you by the Love Toyota Collision Center at 911 East Main Street in Bradford. And we will name our Model T MVP of the game. A lot of offense tonight, so there's quite a bit to talk about. It's Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.
Team Meinert is your source for custom screen printing and embroidery, team uniforms, T-shirts, hats, and more. From concept to completion, Team Meinert in Bradford is there for you. Team Meinert provides top-quality products and exceptional design done by professionals, so there's no need to go online or leave town. And with decades of experience, Team Meinert can bring you the best quality at the best price. For more information, go to TeamMeinert.com, and remember, when it looks good, people will wear it. Team Meinert!
Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports is brought to you by these local sponsors. The Model T Inn, Allegheny Bradford Corporation, Allegheny Vein and Vascular, W.R. Case & Sons, Toji's Family Restaurant, Toji's Substation, Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate, Burns & Burns Insurance, Team Meinert, In Tandem, Thacker Development, Dexter's Service and Collision, Zimmerman Real Estate, Leeson Construction, and Ameriprise Financial. This is Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports, 1490 AM, B107.5 FM, and streaming at WESB.com and 100.1 The Heroes mobile apps.
Leeson Construction Incorporated is Bradford's top family-owned and operated general contractor, providing general construction services and specializing in new commercial buildings since 2017. Leeson Construction Incorporated offers everything from the ground up, including concrete and foundation work, carpentry, excavation, landscaping, and so much more. Visit their website at Gleason-Construction.com to find out more about what Gleason Construction Incorporated can do for you.
It's the family bar with the car. The Model T Inn in Derrick City.
You'll always get great meals and a relaxed family atmosphere at the Model T. Stop in Fridays and treat yourself to one of Jason's delicious fish fries and their other tasty menu items anytime. Relax and enjoy your dinner or drinks outdoors on their beautiful expanded deck and patio area. You'll love it. Whenever you're looking for a great night out, meet your friends at the family bar with the car. The Model T Inn in Derrick City.
It's Friday Night Lights, and the Bradford Owls are ready to bring it. Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate knows that teamwork and dedication are the keys to success. Kathy applauds the Bradford area high school football players, cheerleaders, band members, and coaches. Play hard, play smart, have fun. Kathy Obermeyer of ERA Team VP Real Estate is a proud sponsor of the Bradford Owls. Let's go, Owls!
ACM Bradford.
WESB Bradford.
B107.5 FM.
This is Bradford Owls High School Football.
Welcome to the post-game show for Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports. The Owls just came out victorious against Manitowoc here on homecoming night. Final score of 40-21. And Mark, I'll buy you some time as you finish gathering up the stats here. I'll get through our scoring recap first, and then we'll worry about our first half stats before we name our collision and MVP of the game. To start off, Manitowoc had possession. Bradford kicked it off, but their first possession does not go well. It's on the third play of the game. A.J. Gleason rips away an interception in Manitowoc territory, and Bradford starts out with great field position. They use that and hand it off, rather, to Jordy Thompson a couple of times. Jordy rips one from 35 yards and goes to the house to make it 7-0. Bradford takes the early lead. Manitowoc goes four and out and has to punt it away on their next drive. Bradford takes over and lets the passing game get warmed up. Talon Reese finds Jake Franz the first of four times. I'm going to say that four times tonight. Talon Reese finds Jake Franz, this time from 15 yards out, to make it 14-0. Next Manitowoc possession, they got to punt it away. Bradford takes over, and that's where we end the first quarter. Now, Bradford is driving down the field here in the second quarter, and it ends in a very strange fumble, the result of a poorly timed motion and snap combination. Reese sent a man in motion. A snap went off while a man was right behind center and resulted in a fumble. Manitowoc takes over, and they eventually have to punt it away, but it was kind of the start of a little bit of a momentum shift. Manitowoc punts it away. Bradford punts it away for the first time. Manitowoc then gets their first touchdown of the night. Cole Scott from 10 yards out cuts the lead to 14-7 as we're starting to tick away what's left of the first half. Bradford, though, takes back over. They're able to get downfield despite a few roadblocks. They were inside on a first and goal. Dropped pass for what would have been a touchdown got dropped. A couple of holding and false starts kept pushing them back. But they kept fighting forward, and eventually Talon Reese finds Jake Franz again from 5 yards out for a touchdown. The extra point was no good. We go into halftime, 20-7, Bradford leads. Coming back out of halftime, it looked like whatever was said in that locker room was great for Bradford. They were completely taking over for the first few minutes of the third quarter. They started with possession. They run down the field, essentially, and Talon Reese finds France for the third time from 16 yards out. Extra point is no good, and it's 26-7. Manitowoc has to punt it right back away. Bradford takes over. Talon Reese, Jake Franz again from 43 yards out. Paige Smith comes in, makes the extra point. It's 33-7. Manitowoc punts again, and Bradford scores for the third time in the first 4 minutes of the third quarter. 13 plays, 4 minutes of game time, and 3 touchdowns. This one goes from Talon Reese to Matthew Perry for a 9-yard touchdown. Paige Smith makes the extra point again, and it makes it 40-7. That's a 33-point lead and the largest the Owls would hold. We thought we were heading for a mercy rule and this game was going to be over with. Not the case. Things started to turn around for Manitowoc. It starts with a 1-yard touchdown run from Beecham to make it 40-14. Then Bradford gets intercepted, and Monatah turns that into a 30-yard touchdown pass from Beecham to Grossman, 40-21, and they recover an onside kick. They do eventually end up turning that ball over on downs to end the third quarter, and then the Owls are able to chip away that clock for the rest of the fourth. Turnover on downs first, which Monatah returned the favor, and then Bradford is able to hang on to it long enough to kneel out the clock in the victory formation. Final score 40-21 on homecoming night, and that's good for a 3-3 record. Now, ready?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, Mark's going to give us the stats for the game.
All right, let's start out offensively for our Bradford Owls. Talon Reese, I have him down for 19 completions on 28 attempts, 242 yards, 5 touchdowns, Jimmy, 5, with just 1 interception. Yeah. Also for the Owls, Jordan Thompson makes his presence felt tonight, 16 rushes, 114 yards, including that 35-yard TD run that he had. And also Jake Franz, 8 catches, 112 yards, 4 touchdowns. He caught touchdown passes of 16, 43, 10, and 15.
My word.
Yes. Defensively for the Owls, Evan Whitmore, 15 tackles, 5 of which were tackles for loss, and a sack. Anthony Giordano chipped in with a sack. A.J. Gleason had 5 tackles, and Eric Himes, also chipped in on defense with 5 tackles for the Owls. So, a very well-rounded, like I was looking at my defensive stats, and there's a lot of times where I only have, you know, 6 or 8 guys that have a tackle. I mean, there's 13 guys, 14 guys here that had tackles tonight, so an impressive night
defensively. Yeah, and almost all of them had more than one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, a couple pass deflections in there, like Jake Franz had that big pass deflection, you know, back in the first half. Jordan Thompson came up with a pass deflection. Even just the tackles for loss. I mean, Eric Himes had 2. DeGolier had 1. Matt Perry had a tackle for loss. Jordan had a tackle for loss. And again, as I mentioned before, Anthony Giordano in there with that big tackle for loss. To
huge sack,
help,
yeah.
Help shift momentum there big time. So as far as a player of the game, I think there's 4 legit candidates
there are,
for
yeah.
that.
I gotta chew on it a little. Let's do our collision first. Why don't you go ahead with that?
The collision, what do you think? I'm not...
I still think AJ's holds up from the first quarter.
You think
really
so?
Set the tone.
See, I like that one. I also liked, remember Kohler here on the near sideline.
Oh, the offensive.
He flat out barreled that guy. So,
that.
I mean, I think I'm going to lean towards Logan Kohler with the collision of the game.
Logan Kohler, I actually totally forgot about it because it wasn't a defensive, it wasn't a tackle, but it was a collision for sure. It's the Love Toyota collision of the game presented by the Love Toyota Collision Center at 911 East Main Street in Bradford. It was Logan Kohler on a run play, just a full head of steam right in front of us, midfield, close side, near sideline, and just met that defender. Looked like it was a little bit of a game of chicken, and he just lowered a shoulder and absolutely truck-sticked him like old-school video game style. It was wild to see.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. And Logan, not being a very big young man, I mean, he's 5'6", maybe 150, so not...
Yeah.
Let's see, they have him listed here, 5'6", 130. So he really brought the house when he went through there and was able to get a couple more yards. So a big play for Logan there.
So Model T MVP of the game. Again, this is presented by the Model T Inn on Derrick Road. I think I'm sticking with Jake Franz.
You going to go with Jake?
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I think I'm sticking with Jake Franz.
I mean, we have to throw out special recognition.
We will.
Not only to
we
Jake,
absolutely
but,
will.
But congratulations, Jake, on the Model T player of the game. Again, 8 catches, 112 yards, 4 touchdown catches, plus chipped in pretty good defensively.
Yeah.
So, Jake Franz, your Model T MVP of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. We will. Let's give out some shout-outs real quick. Talon Reese had a phenomenal game, 5 TDs to 1 interception. And even that was like a situation he probably shouldn't have been in following a questionable offensive pass interference call. Do want to say, though, while we're on that subject, obviously after the game, you know, we got the best seats in the house, dude. We can see everything from up here for the most part. And we're not the ones blowing whistles and in real time, you know. So always harder to do on the field than it is up here talking about it after the fact. That being said, weird offensive pass interference call that put Jake in a weird spot where he kind of had to force some throws downfield to go for a first down. Yeah. So I don't fault him for that interception at all.
But a pass interference on a screen pass.
Yes, on a screen pass, yeah. Yeah,
I don't understand.
Yeah. That was a weird one. But it put Reese in a weird spot. So really, that's his only blemish on the night. Not quite as efficient as he usually is, but some excellent passes. And a lot of the ones that were incomplete were just drops. Like he had some straight mustard on, and they smacked hands and went down. So Reese had another fantastic game. Jordy Thompson, really good game. Thought early first quarter he was going to be our guy. 16 rushes, 114 yards with a 35-yard TD run and some tackles as well. So Jordy Thompson, big game. And we finally had Matt Perry get his first TD of the season. He's been a contributor, but finally found the end zone. So you got to love that. But, at the end of it, Jake Franz, I think it's his first MVP of the season.
First or second, yeah. I think he might have got one the first game or second game.
Can't quite remember. But Franz, 8 catches, which is a lot. 112 yards, 4 TDs. They just could not stop him. Would have been 5 on a dropped, but he did make up for that eventually. Would have been 5 again on another call that we complained about at the time. Who knows? Who knows? But an excellent job.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment any further on the officiating. I think I made my point very clear during the game. And we're just going to move on from that one, Jimmy.
A lot of them you just got to throw away and say it's a hard job. Some of them, you know, you got to mention at the time. Some of them are pretty noticeable, and after a while they pile up. But credit to Monatah at the same time for taking advantage of what they could and making that a game. Made it a very fun evening for us, and it turns it into a memorable win here on homecoming night. Final score 40-21. Owls back to 500, 3-3 on the season. Next week, hosting Brookville here on WESB Sports. 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff, hosting Brookville before back-to-back road games at St. Mary's, at Carn City, and then finish the season at home hosting Kane. For my color commentator, Mark Irvin, and for my sound engineer and producer, Quincy Scott, back at the station, this is Jimmy Kelt signing off of Bradford Owls football on WESB Sports.